Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. The podcast is presented by Elite Archery. I am currently shooting the Elite Remedy.
I'm shooting the Result 36.
I'm shooting the Encore.
I'm also shooting the Encore.
That's right.
Hell yeah. Encore team brothers Encore. Over there.
That's right. All right.
Well, we're not on the team either, but we're all on team Elite, and that's what matters. Hey, you know what? We're a family.
That's right.
That's right.
I had some questions in our Working Class Bowhunters group on Facebook, and someone was asking about like the Cure or the Energy 32 or like what bow
I saw
the most. And I think I like the Cure a lot, but you know how there's like bows that stand out to you that you like?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Ritual 35, and I think the Remedy out of the box is one of those that I'll probably talk about for a while, like the Ritual 35.
Yep.
I think it's just that platform for me, a little bit longer.
I was definitely an E35 guy. I like the longer axle to axle.
I'm surprised you didn't go Remedy then.
You know what? I changed it up a little bit. Well, I went to the Cure and was shooting that, and I killed three of them last year with that Cure and felt really good. But so that's why I went a little bit shorter this year. Just and it seems a little bit lighter than the Cure. I don't know. Maybe not, but...
I'm really enjoying the Encore this year, but my go-to one was the Synergy.
The Synergy.
I freaking love that bow.
That's going to be in like one of the like Bows Hall of Fame.
Yep.
That's a thing somewhere.
I think so.
Yeah. I think the Synergy will probably be
such
like
a smooth draw on that bow. You could.
Well, it's what changed it for Elite, I think. I mean, that whole E series did.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of made them more, people became aware very quickly.
Yep.
But anyway, Elite Archery, we love them. You can use code WCB on really anything outdoor group products.
That's right.
That works for Slick Trick Broadheads. Scott releases Elite Archery. People ask about getting their kid or their wife into shooting. The Ember, there's a ready to shoot package, a ready to hunt package, whatever they call it, and you can use code WCB and have it shipped to a local dealer, so you're supporting a local dealer.
I just bought my wife one of those, and I've ordered three of them in since for other wives of my buddies, and they're awesome, really.
Do you have it sent to your local dealer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Ross. Ross is his local dealer. Yeah. It works out good. You win twice, brother.
I mean, honestly, you're getting your best bang for your buck with those bows, and they're such a, I mean, it's such a wide range with those things. I mean,
it's
the best all around package you can get.
Yeah. I really love them, man. I feel passionate about Elite bows, and you know, we like all bows, but we shoot Elite. So
if
you don't like it, eat shit. I'm just kidding. The podcast is also brought to you by Big Time. Super thankful to be a part of the Big Time family.
That's right.
We have a podcast. If you're listening to this one in real time, we have a podcast coming up with Big Time also in studio. So that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Technically as recording, that's later this week yet. So we'll be back again, putting in work. Big Time, you use code WCB2021.
Right.
Works on everything Big Time right now, even the soil test kits. Tune into the next episode. We're going to get into like the science of seed, I guess, as much as our idiot brains, wage brains can
handle. Yeah.
Yeah, as much as we can get into it. Also, Spy Point cameras. You guys got... So I want to ask you guys this, because I'm excited to run Spy Points again this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have like a two pack for I think $150 for two cell cameras. It's insane.
It's cheap.
Do you guys have cameras out yet?
Nope.
I do not.
I got to be honest.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I normally wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I have better results with seeing deer the longer I wait and the less I fuck around.
Yeah.
But I like running the trail cams in the summer. But I feel like if I don't go into the timber and I use them as like... I just put my cameras on the fringes.
On the fringe, yep.
I see way more deer.
Yep.
And I feel like less is more.
That's why I always put mine on the fringe. I won't put them in the
Never
timber
go
at
deep.
All.
Yeah, I stick to field edges for now.
I'm going in the timber. I have plans of going in the timber one time, and that's to hang a stand. I might put a cell cam in deep. And tips when you're running spy points, or really any cell cam, whatever you choose, lithium batteries.
Yep.
And make sure like the firmware or software or whatever you want to call it on that camera is
updated.
And you should be in the money.
Yeah.
So
I'm a last week of July guy.
Good SD card.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's a good point. And
last week of July guy. That's just when I like to put them out. Over the years, I've ran a ton of cameras for a long time, and I felt like I was just changing batteries more than I was and pulling cards. And
yep.
Well, I like to do that middle to late July, because if you've got a camera jacking up on you,
right,
at least you can get that week and a half or 2 week turnaround and figure out if we got to
get the
fix
bugs
a camera.
Worked out, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, that's a good point too. But Spy Point has a free plan. 100 photos a month for free. So you can have that running like for people who can't run supplemental feed like us in Illinois.
Right.
We can just run that on the free plan. And then once we want to start changing things up or put a scrape or whatever up, then you can upgrade your plans. And then you can also right now join the Spy Point Insiders Club, and they're doing a bunch of giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a truck involved in there, and we're helping out with working with some other giveaways there for the Insider Club giveaway. So check it out, Spy Point. Also, Rogue Ridge e-bikes. I meant to have that thing at the studio for the Buckstrom boys to break their collarbones out front on.
just when it's raining and just let them eat shit on the main road.
I'm getting that charged up for 4th of July weekend because daddy's going to tear it up, and I can't wait. And that's going to be, actually, I might as well just put a Spy Point sticker on that Rogue Ridge and just call it my Spy Point runner, because that's what I'm going to put all my trail cams out with.
There you go.
Hey, you got the basket on yours.
Oh, yeah. Front and back.
Fill that baby full of Spy Points. I got the regular rack.
A rack on the back, but I got a basket up front, too.
I'm going to put a milk crate on that motherfucker and haul all them.
My neighbors had a party this weekend. That was like the talk of the party. So I'm like, oh, let me go get my bike, and people are all cruising around on it and shit.
Yeah. I thought you put a bunch of Lining Kugels in the front basket and rode it to town.
I could.
I bet you get a DUI on a Rogue Ridge.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know. You should try, Doug.
I bet you should try.
for the sake of the show.
All right.
I bet you could fit Toto and your trail cameras in that front.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Dude, I'm pretty sure I can ride that baby at the speed limit right out front of the studio. I had that thing cruising, man.
Yeah, you were hauling ass the one time.
Dude, I'm going to hit like my neighbor's goat or something hauling down that gravel road on that motherfucker.
Sorry about it.
I had her top just over 30.
Should have been staying in there.
That's pretty good.
I was hauling the mail. Rogue Ridge, get yourself one. they haven't said anything about our plugs. We genuinely love them. Like, it's fun. Scent Crusher, you guys all know about Scent Crusher, Ozone Products, Old Barn Taxidermy. Old Barn doesn't really come into play a lot right now unless you have a deer on your way back, which we have replicas getting made through Old Barn. Yep. Ross is getting some of his 200. You are mapping out the full mount for your 200 for your man cave.
Yep.
The Geyerbuck's going to be getting two replicas made of it. I have a coyote there, last year's deer. So for us, a lot to look forward to, but you guys need to be thinking about Old Barn for this fall.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
If you haven't been there yet. So Old Barn Taxidermy.
We'll send some pictures of all of our mounts that we're getting back and show you how thorough these guys are. They're perfect.
Yeah. So. Yeah. They're amazing. Yep. Doug, were you going to do a veteran shout out or is Jeremy going to rock it?
Jeremy's going to rock it.
All right, here. We'll get you guys both in. You guys are both in. Jeremy from Buckstorm.
Hello.
Come on in. You got a vet shout out?
Hey, how are you?
Am I just going to go right into it right now?
Well, here, I'll say this. The vet shout out is brought to you by HHA USA. HHA USA does a lot for veterans, getting them back into archery and the outdoors. They're doing their, over monthly 3D shoots right now during the summer. They do a ton for veterans, getting them back into archery. It's a good thing. And then we forward all the veteran. If you make a veteran shout out, we forward their information to HHA USA, and they send like a goodie package and all that. So that is what all I got to say for the veteran shout out. Now the rest is yours.
Perfect. I was going to shout out my uncle. He just recently retired out of the Navy, 39 years. I believe he went overseas twice. I don't know a lot of the details, but he's a big hunter. So he's going to be doing lots of hunting now he's retired. And hopefully he hears this.
Awesome.
You better tell him his name.
Oh, Gerard Walkers, Jay Walkers, 39 years, U.S. Navy.
Awesome.
Awesome. Nice, Thank you for your service.
Thank you. How do you say his first name?
His real name's Gerard. We go with Jay.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Thanks for your service, Jay.
I met Jay. We went out fishing in Connecticut. Great guy. Loves the outdoors. Die hard. Came out hunting in the hills.
Yeah.
And just a good guy.
So awesome.
Put his time in for sure.
Hell yeah.
Very cool. That's awesome. Got to appreciate that. It's cool whenever we can do a veteran shout out like that a guest has.
Yeah, no kidding.
I've been meaning to send it in, but this works better.
Hey, so. you drove out here. I think it's better than an email.
And Doug can't read it, so.
Yeah, you helped me out a lot there.
Doug would screw up the name.
It's tough out here. All right, let's get to the episode.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T-Bone Turner from the Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working class.
Whole, well, there it is. See it? Two episodes in a row. Yep. What the fuck would I be if I didn't? I got to change that button. Working Class Bowhunter Podcast, episode 457. Buckstorm is in studio. What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
How's it going, guys?
Travis and Jeremy, what's up?
You know what? This place, you guys did it right.
Thanks, man.
Thank
it's
you.
Awesome.
You guys
Thank
are the
you.
First awesome. In-studio guests. So,
how's that feel?
It was a long haul, but we're here.
All the way from South Dakota, in studio.
Yeah, thanks for having us in here, man. This is...
Yeah, we appreciate it.
This is...
It took a lot to get you here, to be honest.
a little bit.
You just had to buy a truck.
I bought a truck from South Dakota, and they were kind enough to deliver. The timing was absolutely perfect.
It worked out real good.
It worked out really good. Let's go round table. Kurt Geyer, obviously, in the studio.
Eric Hammond.
Doug Schmidt.
Ross Bigger.
Travis from Buckstorm.
Jeremy Meyer. Buckstorm.
Or Mayor, if you ask me.
Mayor, if you ask
Mayor.
Me.
Mayor.
Yeah.
You a horse?
Yeah.
Yes.
In studio. Glad you guys Hungry made one. It. I bought a truck through Buckstorm. They came out. We've been wanting to do an in-studio podcast with you guys for a long time. We've done a lot of camp episodes, some elk camp episodes, 2 years of antelope camp episodes, some phone interviews and stuff like that. So it's been a long time coming. So you guys are just holding out for us to like buy a place and build a studio.
Yeah, we wanted you to grow a little bit and...
Right.
Get bigger and have a cool place for us to stay.
That's pretty smart.
Right, right.
You guys ain't staying here, right?
We didn't want to foot the bill for a hotel, so we waited till you have a place.
Well, I mean, that makes the most sense. You guys really
well played.
Might be the smartest people we've ever interviewed.
I don't know about that.
You guys knew we were going to have a building and everything, huh?
Eventually, yeah.
So for people who don't know, I mean, they should know if they followed like what we do, but what is Buckstorm?
So basically, we started Buckstorm, I don't even know, Eight years ago, we kind of had this idea. And
8 years ago?
Well, that's when it all began, I should say. But
that's a haul.
Yeah, so like 2 years ago, we got serious about it and actually were like, okay, this might be more than the hobby, and just started cranking out YouTube videos and content, essentially. So, you know, mostly based in South Dakota, which we have lots of species to hunt there. So we post a video every single week, which wasn't something we did initially. And it's kind of helped us grow, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Consistency.
Yeah, and we just try to keep it, like, real and relatable and less produced, but still somewhat produced where it's easy to watch. And, yeah, pretty much it.
Yeah. No, I didn't realize 8 years. I mean, I thinking about it, like, going back to some of your guys' early videos, it looks like 8 years, definitely, with how young you guys looked. And
8 years ago was when... That's when I shot that 3-yard muley. We filmed it.
Yeah.
And that's when it's like, we should do this all the time because we were able to watch it over and over.
Right.
You can tell someone you shot a mule deer at 3 yards mm-hmm. all you want, and they're not going to believe you, but you're like, hey, I got a video.
Right.
So from that point is when we decided it's time to start filming everything. And then I don't know how many years after that we decided.
Right.
That was kind of the kickoff then, that right. video.
Yeah. And we kind of were like trying to play in the DVD game first. And that's like,
well, that's what was hot back then, you know?
Exactly. But it was kind of on the way
out.
It
was towards the end, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And there's still some people that pull it off, obviously. And
Whitetail Adrenaline's like the only one.
Right. Exactly.
Nowadays.
Right. But it's like, if that's where you got to watch it, you're going to watch it.
And we've come a long way since then. So, I mean, it was pretty rough at the beginning, but we still got those on our YouTube.
How many views does that 3-yard mule deer kill have? Like a shit ton, right?
Mine's at like...
100 and... Well, Jeremy's is at like... 90 something, I don't even know, 90,000. And my wife's is at like 107.
His wife one upped me like a couple
because it was only 2 yards
after that,
right? Right,
they say it was only two yards, it was like six, probably.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean,
they'll never details. Know,
right? Well, that's what's cool about like, I'd like your guys' videos, and I probably sound like a broken record to people who've heard the past Buckstorm episodes, but that's what I've always really liked about your guys' videos because you're not trying, like, I'm not watching 10 minutes of B-roll to get to something,
right?
Which B-roll has its place and, you know, right. people do their thing, but I like to see how things are. If I'm interested in hunting mule deer in South Dakota, I will watch Buckstorm videos and I'm getting ready to just pile in because I'm going mule deer hunting to just start watching all your guys' mule deer stuff.
Cause you can see the whole process.
Yeah. But then you can see how it is.
Right.
You know, you're not like thumbing through bullshit, clicking through YouTube videos going, all right, come on.
Yep. What led up to this? It's like,
right.
It's not everybody's cup of tea the way we do it, but we're doing it. We're going to do it either way. So.
Everyone's in a different mood at different times. Exactly. You know, if I want to watch like a vlog style show of a guy talking for 10 minutes and then showing 2 minutes of hunting, sometimes I'm in the mood for that.
Right.
But most times I want to watch like to the point type videos that are cut, like kind of designed around a working class mindset on a lunch break.
Right.
I watch your guys' videos on lunch break all the time.
Exactly.
And that's what it's perfect for.
Yeah. We're not producing an hour long film. And I think really what got us going is like Jeremy said, when he shot that mule deer at 3 yards and we got a really good video of it. And at the time we didn't even have the right equipment. So the audio is garbage. The video's all right, but
everything
the audio is terrible.
I don't think so.
I think you guys are underplaying a little bit.
Yeah,
honestly.
I think so too. I mean, that video was awesome.
Here, I'll pull it up.
And you guys start somewhere. Right. You know?
Maybe I'm biased because I look at it. I was 8 years ago. That was the same exact day, an hour before that, I found out I was having my first kid.
Oh, yeah. I love the story.
It's great.
That was awesome. Travis, I get it. I'm on the phone outside of the truck. Just found out that she's pregnant. Get in the truck and don't say a word to Travis.
He didn't tell me.
He goes, I spotted a buck. We went around and that's what I snuck on and shot.
Yep. But that video.
Did you tell him after you shot?
No, it was a good, I was young and like, oh shit moment.
He didn't
tell
me for like 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And he didn't tell anyone else either.
That's hilarious.
Still. But really, the point of the story is that lit a fire. Like everybody, like you guys probably have something too that lit a fire to make you do this.
Yeah.
And that was like our fire starter. It was kind of smoldering and that set it full blaze.
You just threw the ether on it with that one.
Yep.
Yeah. It was like, if we could do this again, we got to make sure we get it on video.
Right. Right.
And it's more just being able to relive it than anything. It's not like a bragging competition. It's like being able to relive it. Hopefully somebody can learn something.
God, look at you. Look so young there.
So we got the video for everyone listening. We got the video pulled up in studio here.
And there's times where we miss the shot or we get a real crappy video of the shot, but we still put it on there anyway because that's how it is. I mean, it's freaking tough to video.
Right.
Yep.
No, I think it's great. This video is awesome. 3 yard shot, archery mule deer, South Dakota. If you type that in on YouTube, you will find this video. You're 91,000 views. So yeah, you guys uploaded this in 2015 or do you have to re-upload it all?
That one was actually uploaded in 2015. It just, on our, we kind of merged our channel since then. So
oh, it's gotcha. Still
boy, awful. You're about to John Wayne him.
Exactly.
This actually, I came back. No one can see it, but we had to loop around and come back on him again.
Did you?
And I think you might have been sleeping, but that's just details, and nobody needs to know that.
So long.
He's taking a snooze.
It's just real sneaky.
Get closer to your mic there, Travis. Just because you're leaned away, you're good right there.
Long story short, you might want to fast forward just a little bit because he's not about to shoot yet. There you go. That's the one.
There you go. You
see your shadows.
Your shadows are so crazy
John
right there.
John Wayne and him.
Look at the rack sitting there.
We had no choice, but my hope was he would actually stand up when he saw our shadows and he could thump him right there. But
oh, he's laying out like a dog right there with his legs straight out.
He was looking the other way, so he never did see our shadows.
Man, look at that. Can you imagine being that close?
I didn't know how to aim.
I know. Yeah, that's the thing. Look at, oh, man.
He about come back at you, too.
It went right through his shoulder blades, poked right into his heart.
You smoked him. That is awesome, man. You guys got to get online and watch this video.
It's insane.
Boom. Good shot, man. That's a hard shot. That's probably harder than a 30 or 40 yard shot.
Oh, yeah.
You don't use your pin at that range.
You're just looking.
Yeah, it was.
Look down the arrow.
Yeah, for sure.
That's buried down. Oh, yeah. You got blood gushing out the top like that. You're in the money.
You went.
How big a mule deer is that?
He was
scored one under, little under 140.
Really?
Not a big one, but.
It's awesome, man.
Just a young pup.
I'm not very picky.
No,
I
don't know.
Especially when you're doing that, man. You're
every time.
3 yards.
The mule deer you shot in antelope camp, goat camp last year was
almost identical to that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they score right about the same.
I would have shot that buck all day long.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So
that one, it was like we hiked in 2 miles.
Yeah,
we worked our asses off for it, shot it, had to pack it out.
Plus, it was cool. Everybody was in camp.
It was, yeah. It was cooler than shooting a 20, 30-inch bigger deer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the hill from the road, there was an experience to it, and
absolutely.
I'll never forget the suck that it to get it out
to get it out
right.
A lot of times
it was hot, dude.
It was hot.
Travis was sick back at camp.
Yeah, I took a little nap and came and provided some kill beers when you got back to the truck.
Sandwiches. He was like the wife of the day.
Yeah,
that's normally you, ain't it?
Yes.
Before at least he knows, right?
I want to dive more into some mule deer stuff here, but before we move on, you guys just added 2 new team members to Buckstorm.
Yeah, so we kind of have been diving in, and we're like, you know, we have South Dakota kind of covered and captured, and that transfers to lots of states.
That's what you're known for, South Dakota based,
right? And we hunt elsewhere too, but we haven't been able to produce enough content to really get anywhere on our other states. Well, yeah. Actually, at the Nebraska show, we hung out with Colton and Eric down there from Kansas,
mm-hmm.
and they're just good dudes. And they're both like farmers, basically farmer yeah. rancher. They grew up there. They have like a little different perspective, and they've been kind of getting into videoing. So we just were like, hey, let's team up a little bit, just kind of produce some cross content. And it's just kind of a cool little like spin on what we do.
Yeah.
And I can kind of put my flip on it and just kind of put it together in a way that's easy to watch.
Put yeah, more wood on fire.
Those dudes yeah. are super cool, man.
Yeah, those are super awesome.
Great
yeah,
guys
super
to
nice
add.
Too.
I never thought about, not that I'm saying this is, I think it's a great thing, but I never thought about, in my eyes, you guys adding, because, you know, everyone knows you guys, and then Austin plays a role. And then I know you yep. guys have some other guys do, like, guest appearances, if you will, here and there. But,
right.
Like, everyone kind of knows you guys as being, like, so South Dakota-based, which I think is great. But that's kind of nice because they're not they're Midwest, and technically South Dakota's the Midwest, but I don't consider it the Midwest.
Right.
Do you guys?
Well,
I don't.
For the longest time I did, like, back when we started Buckstorm, actually, the first time.
Don't go there.
We literally named our DVD Midwest Smackdown. And this was 12 years ago when I was
in
college. And it was like...
You watch too much wrestling or what? Smackdown?
It's on YouTube. If anyone wants to laugh and critique, it's under a different channel. I think it's actually labeled Buckstorm Productions. The video still exists.
Midwest Smackdown. You guys
it's under the YouTube Travis Teal. But the way South Dakota is, it's got the river going up the middle. You cross the river into the west side, and you got like your western type hunting, antelope, mule deer, elk, and then you get into the Black Hills. But if you... You're on the east side of the river. It's very similar to here. Not as many trees.
It's northern Iowa.
It's farm country.
Yeah.
It's northern Iowa.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. I agree with
that. You drove through it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
East River, South Dakota is the Midwest.
Yep.
West River's not.
Nope.
That's kind of
almost like the divider.
Yeah.
It is. But it's a beautiful place to live because of all the opportunity it brings.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But it's cool because you guys aren't really Midwest, like... You know, the Iowa, the Illinois, the Indiana, the Wisconsin, the Kentucky, the Minnesota. Right. You guys have your own patch. And the Kansas is like, it's Midwest, but it's not really Midwest like we're Midwest.
Right.
You know, Kansas is, for us in Illinois and Iowa, like Kansas whitetail is like in the whitetail bucket list. It's in the whitetail state Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
If that's an easy way to put it.
Exactly.
Yep.
Not to be confused with our South Dakota talk.
Hey,
but you get what I'm saying there. It's kind of like in your top five if you were to whitetail hunt somewhere. Kansas is in there.
Top five state in the Midwest. Yeah
I think. Yep. Or just anywhere.
Yeah.
You're going to hunt whitetails anywhere, you know?
100%.
But I think you guys have kind of captured that niche of being in that in-between area.
That's the cool thing about it is it in-between. You can go across the state, sit over crops, or similar to what you guys do, sit in a tree stand, but then you can... go a couple hours and you're hunting mule deer, antelope, hunting the hills. Yeah. We don't have the big mountains like Colorado does, but it's...
Well, I think I always said ever since we all became friends and we started hunting out there with you guys, South Dakota is a really rad place to live if you like to bow hunt because, I mean, your guys' trophy rooms are the perfect example on why because, I mean, I know in your basement, you got all your whitetails on one side and all your muleys on the other, and then you guys have elk and all antelope and all sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah, mountain lion... You name it. They're
just about everything you can think about hunting, we can hunt in South Dakota. Now, some of them are harder to do, but we can do it.
Right.
And we're also closer to going and
like,
doing it.
You say harder to do is like frequency of drawing tags.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Gotcha. They're resident only with the small elk population and stuff. I mean, it can take 20 plus years to draw resident elk tags. So
yeah.
It's not
20
like,
years?
Yeah, more than that in a lot of cases.
But if you do it right, you can go every year. We go every single year. So, I mean.
Like you go with someone.
Everybody.
Right.
And that's the cool thing about Buckstorm. Everybody, they draw a tag, they go type in South Dakota elk hunting on YouTube. We get pulled up. The first thing they do is send us a message. And if we're not doing anything, we're going hunting.
Right.
Because you're offering your time.
Exactly.
Right.
So let's talk about that, though, because that rolls into the next major like announcement, right? Like
absolutely.
Right. Big time. And so this last year, we've actually been chasing it for probably close to a year and a half now. We obtained our federal guide permit so we can guide on U.S. Forest Service lands in the Black Hills. So we're able to.
Dang. What a damn process that is.
Holy
is it hard?
It's insane. cost a lot of money, and they want to know absolutely. They want to know down to like
where you're camping. You every can't little camp, camp there. Spot there's you're a stream. At. But I mean, they were cool through the whole process. We were able to get it all taken care of, and we got our permit, so we were able to guide like these. Most of these hunts are basically once in a lifetime hunts,
mm-hmm. right?
So it's not like we're just like money hungry trying to go out and like take everybody's money. It's more we're trying to give everybody a hunt they'll remember, because it's literally you draw an elk tag. If you're over like the age of 40, the next time you draw an elk tag, you'll be probably shooting out the window with a handicap permit if you're even lucky enough to hunt. So,
man. No kidding.
The other side of it is these people message us and we want to go to on every single hunt.
Exactly.
But we got real jobs. So we've had a tiny bit of backlash of people, well, you're going to ruin the hunting in the hills and all this.
Oh,
well,
really?
We can't take off, you know, that many weeks in a year and go hunting and not be able to pay ourselves or make a little bit of money.
Right, yeah, we got to take care of our families,
big families,
kids, you know.
Right. So we're doing it. The response we had for this, there was actually one person, but we're going to do it anyway. And nothing, and it's been, I don't know, years.
We've helped lots of people out. And
nothing's changing. People are throwing kind of a fit about us guiding on the Black Hills.
Right. And by people, he means like one person.
Probably just people that.
There's others, but.
Is it people that just know you personally and then are being mad haters about it?
I don't know. It was, he's. I don't know.
It's mostly been fine. Like, actually, most people are like sharing it and like, these are your guys, or like somebody comments, anybody know a guy?
It would be different if like an elk hunt there was like an over the counter like buck tag in Illinois.
That's the thing. We're showing these guys these spots. They don't have a reason to go there for another 20, maybe 30 years.
Right, right.
Because after you draw your tag, I drew mine in 2017. I can't even apply for a elk rifle tag until the 10th year. And then after that 10th year, I'm still going to need.
10 years.
Maybe 20 years of points.
Oh, shit.
So, like he said, I'll be shooting out the window by the time I get a tag.
I didn't realize it was that difficult.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yep.
There's not the population to do it, and that's another thing in South Dakota. Not that it matters to anybody listening, because they probably can't go, but the fact that it's hard to get a tag is that it makes it that much better of a hunt.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's more animals and less hunters.
It's like watching elk hunting on TV when you go out there.
And just to put it in perspective, like South Dakota, our elk population is somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 elk. And I think Wyoming's knocking on 250,000 or close to 200,000.
Oh, really?
So like you put that in perspective and it makes sense why it's so hard.
Right.
Right. Right.
And they manage it for more of a trophy hunt, and then they issue lots of cow tags to control the population, and they're doing a good job of controlling everything. But
yeah.
It just takes a while. There's like, I think last year, what was it? 9,200. Don't quote me on that. Applicants applying for probably, I don't even know.
No kidding.
150 bull tags.
Jeez,
150.
So what kind of hunts are you guys offering? I mean, how does it work? Like, are you guys calling it Buckstorm Outfitting? Buckstorm? Yeah. What are we going with?
Yeah, so it's Buckstorm Hunts. And
Buckstorm Hunts.
Basically, we actually offer deer hunts as well, and we do have some access to private places that we'll take our clients out on. Kind of a tree stand, like mountain-type whitetail hunt and or mule deer in the case of deer hunts. And you never know, you could shoot either. I mean, the way the tags are in South Dakota, when you get an archery tag, is it any deer tag, essentially?
So you can shoot you can shoot a whitetail or mule deer on the same tag.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And then our elk hunts, and we basically, it's all listed on our website, buckstormhunts.com. It kind of breaks it down a little better, but.
Is that a separate website from?
Same website.
Same one. It worked out good, because when we originally got that domain name, it was the only one that was available, was Buckstorm Hunts. That was years ago,
right? So it all
so
crossed,
kind of.
Oh, nice.
Worked out,
suppose,
so people can hit you guys up. Like, what's the best way? They're like, hey man, I'd like to do a South Dakota hunt. Like, say I want to get my first mule deer, and I'm from Illinois or Iowa, and it's not that far. Right?
Absolutely, yeah. We got some options for sure, and the non-resident, as far as non-residents go, we can do anything deer. Currently, and we're working to expand on that to hopefully offer some antelope and stuff in the future. But as far as elk and like bighorn sheep, mountain goat, those are all special long shot resident only draws. So
right.
If you're looking to elk hunt, you're not going to be able to elk hunt in South Dakota unless you want to move there and wait 20 some years. Don't do it. Just go to Colorado.
that's a harder long game than waiting for us to buy a studio to record in studio.
That's right. Don't hold your breath.
Don't hold your breath. Damn. Okay. So what would be the other loophole? Be like, get married to somebody like somebody that owns a reservation and then draw an elk tag that way?
Absolutely.
I don't think they own it, do they?
Yeah, if you shoot us a message, we will go ahead and we'll forward that to Austin and he can answer that.
Yeah, let's talk about Austin since he's not here. So the lost member of Buckstorm.
Yeah.
How's that work? He's not actually hunting on the reservation though, right?
No, he can. So there's the way that the reservation works.
We love
is
you, Austin.
A lot of it's Missy. Reservation land, and reservation land you can only hunt with a reservation issued tag. So that's like tribal members only, or a tribal member allocated draw or tag system where they're actually being guided by like a tribe member, essentially.
Gotcha.
Really good hunting out there. That being said, there is some units that like kind of cross, and there's deeded land that's privately owned, but it was deeded tribal land to start with. So they're able to hunt the same locations in certain occurrences.
Mm-hmm.
She just gets to hunt first because the season reservation season usually opens prior to like the state season. But with a deeded, like on deeded land, you can hunt with a normal tag for that unit in certain areas where it kind of crosses over.
It's
so,
all quite confusing.
God, that's holy confusing shit. As hell.
Yeah, but
it seems like
it doesn't come into play a ton usually. I mean, it's more like they know what's going on there, but usually it's like you got to be a tribal member to really be in that situation, or you have to be using an outfitter of some sort.
Or marry one, like Kurt said.
Hey.
Yeah. That's what you call golden Indian tickets. Like Willy Wonka.
I gotta go find me one of them.
You got one, dude.
Jesus.
Dude, if we all hit like a midlife crisis, I'm just gonna start poking around South Dakota alone.
Absolutely.
Just poking
around.
Might
take a drive down there.
They're a great family too, and I mean they're it's pretty cool. I mean Austin and their whole family, I've been friends with all of them for ever. I grew up with them, went to high school together.
I'll say this, Austin does some great like recipe cooking how to stuff on Buckstorm's YouTube.
The meat master.
I'm telling you, he is. He had nice. The in elk camp brought all well hell in goat camp last year, brought all the good stuff in, and good dude. Good
you
times.
Learn how to make deer brats, deer bacon.
That's probably one of
the deer brat video was good. I was watching that
on
the
our
other
YouTube
day.
Austin did them, and he is good at what he does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
He's the meat master. He's not going to make it for you, so you better watch.
He doesn't even give us
yourself,
any.
You know,
it's tough out here, man.
It is.
Well, he's got all that family to feed over there on the reservation.
You bet. But this year, his dad drew a bull.
You guys are like,
get
off that topic. Let's move off.
Switch
that's
gears.
That's a sore subject in our state.
Kurt's going to say some shit he shouldn't. The thing is, I wouldn't know. I wasn't supposed to say that. That's what
I'm new. I don't know.
Perfect.
I don't know what to do with my hand.
It's all good.
So exciting stuff. New members, the outfit, Buckstorm Hunts. That's awesome, guys.
It's awesome.
I think that's cool that you guys are volunteering your time. I mean, really, because you guys enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But like you said, you're not going for quantity for dollar amount. You're going for you're going for quality in the hunt, because really that's all there is.
And
but
because of what we did, we're going on a mountain goat hunt in South Dakota, which there's two tags with however many people that apply.
Two tags total.
Had we not done that, we'd probably never, ever go on that hunt.
So the whole state, there's two tags.
Correct.
So what does that entail? Like, why and what's...
There's
can you break
a really,
that down?
Really low population of mountain goats. Same goes to bighorn sheep, like last year when we went on that hunt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
by the way, awesome video.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
That was the coolest hunt I've ever been.
Probably the number one
besides
in my book.
Besides the ones
so.
With you, of course.
Yeah, I knew.
Yeah, number three because I went hunting with you twice so far. So
okay,
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Fuck Doug.
But yeah, long story short, it's like a once in a thousand lifetime tag. Maybe more than that. Like most people will never hold that tag ever.
The mountain goat.
Or the bighorn.
The bighorn.
Oh, the chances of being able to go on the hunt knowing someone that drew a tag is slim to none to begin with.
In South Dakota, we're talking. The bighorn in South Dakota.
Well, it's slim to none anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Why is it so hard? Is it just because of the population of them? Yeah.
Yeah, and they're more disease prone, and the populations really fluctuate. So, states that are thriving, like, it can go south in a very quick minute if disease hits or whatever. They're just more susceptible.
Domestic sheep cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, there's a lot of pneumonia getting passed from domestic herds that are roaming in the mountains. I don't know.
Shit. Why do they let domestic herds roam in the mountains then?
Well,
it's probably a controversy, right?
Yeah,
federal
more,
land. Yeah, it's a big deal.
They're not roaming. It's like private land. Somebody has sheep and they come in contact with them, like they're just
well, they have the grazing permits.
And almost every time they come in contact with a domestic sheep, and I think even goats maybe can carry it too, but they come in contact, they're pretty much guaranteed to get that pneumonia because it doesn't affect domestic sheep. They always carry it. Hmm. Well, as soon as they go back to the herd, it's game over. I mean, it can level an entire like mountain range.
No kidding.
It's everywhere.
And
it's,
so can I say fuck domestic sheep?
Well, I mean, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
You just
absolutely did.
Well, I said it. So. Yeah.
Well, there's no like sheep farmers in the hills. So it's just the guys that have a few, you know, it's like,
it's not a major deal.
Is it hobby farmers? Like, oh, I got some goats. Look at my fucking goats. Is it
pretty much. That's what's going on.
Oh dude, fuck that.
Yeah.
Right. Am I out of line?
No, I realize that
pigs were real sensitive to different diseases and everything. I mean, it takes a lot to keep a healthy pig. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize the sheep were the same way.
Yep. And on top of that, predation, like with mountain lions, they've done multiple studies out there. They'll collar like the lambs when they're born, and they have a super high mortality rate, and they're able to cross match a bunch of that to mountain lion kills. And they're basically sitting ducks when they're new, and they live in the high rocky country.
And there's a lot of cats where we're
they don't know what to do.
A lot of new ones.
There's a lot of cats in the Black Hills.
Yeah, right. I can imagine.
We can't hunt them with dogs there. So the way we got to do it.
What's the reason for that? Sorry, I'm asking a lot of questions.
There's too much. There's a lot of public land in the Black Hills. There's a lot of public land in the Black Hills, but there's a lot of private intermixed between there.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't stop your dogs when they want to go bombing through private land. I think that's the reason for it.
Yeah.
But there's a certain place you can do dogs, but if we could do dogs in the actual Black Hills, it would diminish the population to where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think
the quota hasn't been met in years.
Because you got to drive.
Can a non-resident come and do a mountain lion hunt in South Dakota?
As far as I know, no. But I know it's been in the talks.
Right.
They need to. In my opinion, they absolutely need to.
Get some money into the state.
Because there's just that many cats around.
Well, you got to drive. You got to get up at 2 in the morning, drive roads in the middle of the night, find fresh tracks, and follow them. Which the mountain lions, they live in the worst shit you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have snow to follow them. So it's going to suck. It's going to be slippery. You're going to be in rocks. Yep. You got to follow them and catch them.
And they make like 4 to 6 miles a day, don't they?
It's stupid.
I mean, I followed sun up to sundown. I followed one.
And the next thing you know, you're tracking them and you're doing a big loop and you're like, I've been here before. And then you find your tracks and their tracks are in your tracks.
Uh-huh. They're just watching your
ass. They know you're there.
Oh, yeah. They're tracking you at this point.
It's
yeah.
almost impossible without dogs.
Yeah. I mean, it's not impossible.
You need to have a lot of time.
What are the chances of sitting and seeing a mountain lion in daylight?
They're pretty receptive to calls. I actually called one in a couple of years ago. I don't really want to talk about
subject.
It because, the shot went a little bit south, you know, but long story short.
Oh, damn. It's tough out here.
What the hell kind of calls do you use? Just like
goat calls.
Try that again. Let me hear it.
Usually like a fawn distress or a mate.
Where's Kelby at?
Call or something. But,
where's Kelby at?
Yeah. Did you guys hear the mountain lion story? You guys heard
that? I did, yeah.
He does a very good call.
Isn't he good?
If I would have heard that, I would have shit my fucking pants.
You should hear it in person. It's way more terrifying in person.
Oh, my God.
I would have shot at him, too.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Dude, the way Trace said it, it's like, the question is, Kelby, how close were those bullets to you?
Yeah.
And Kelby's like, yeah, I was sitting on my horse. I'm like, how did your horse not lose its mind?
Right, just bullets whizzing by you.
That's a good
horse. Just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, he's like, I hid behind a tree as quick as I could.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, the guys are talking. He's like, hey, he's packing a .45. Like, don't be in the open. Like,
he said, I didn't know for sure, but I had a pretty good idea he was going to shoot. So,
wham, wham, wham. Three fast ones.
I've never had an experience where I've had to shoot.
No. Yeah,
I don't know if I would or not.
And that's one thing.
Yeah, like, I know what you're saying.
You see a Bigfoot in the woods, are you shooting?
Fuck
what
no.
What if it's a person?
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I find out.
You get me scared. Fuck around and find out.
Jail for that if you thought they were Bigfoot?
Should have been an idiot.
I'm going to circle. I want to circle back around, but I got some topics I want to get into. But on this topic, the wife and I started watching Alone.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't watch TV. Like, I don't watch really any movies. I don't really watch, like, a documentary I watch, but I don't watch, like, series or nothing like that. Well, I was getting tattooed last week. My tattoo artist was like, dude, you don't watch Alone? Like, that's right up your alley, you know? So I started watching it, and I'll take a beer, please, Doug. And I just see, like, this guy's like, the first night I started from season one, the guy's like, I didn't think I was going to be stalked. because there's a bear. And he's like, I thought, are they supposed to be survival experts or are they normal people?
It's not. They're like experts that do it like as a hobby most of the time.
Okay, this guy should just hang it up, right? Because he's like crying after one night. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, everyone's like scared of mountain lions and shit.
He's alone.
That's the whole point. So have you guys been in a spot, like, is there bears in South Dakota?
They're starting to like be more and more sightings every year. It seems like they more pass through, but there's been more sightings than I ever remember.
Really?
So
they're around, but
so the question being is, like, do you guys ever worry, having lots of mountain lions in South Dakota, do you ever worry about getting attacked by mountain lions? Does that ever cross your mind in the dark, going deer hunting, doing anything?
No.
Nope. As much time as we've spent out there, I mean, there's certain states where they are more aggressive. They're starving, mostly like Southwest, like California. That's where you hear of your attacks.
But they're pretty elusive in general. They're very elusive. I mean, it's hard to spot one, let alone sneak up on you.
Can I say
100%. They're trying to get out of there.
Liberals? You can say the fuck you want.
If they hear anybody, they've already figured you out and they're gone.
And what I always tell people is, if they were, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're like an alpha predator. If they wanted to, game over.
You're
like,
done either way.
You're done. But unless one's injured or anything, like, they'd be easy to hunt and kill if you're tracking them and they just charged you. You just sit there, like, you just keep following them until they came at you and you shoot them.
Right.
You shoot them.
I've tracked hundreds and I've seen maybe four, missed one, killed one. And other than that, I mean, I've literally, you never see them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the middle of the Black Hills, and in the whole entire time I lived there, I saw one.
Oh, really?
And the only time I've ever heard something kind of sketchy happening is we had a buddy that was shed hunting.
That was sketchy, actually. Yeah, I'll give you
that.
And
he turned around.
I saw this video.
Did we show it to
you? Yeah, and it freaked me the fuck out.
It looked like a young cat, probably just curious.
I saw this video, too. Yeah.
Did you?
Coming at him, and he was.
It was like sneaking up on him, and he yelled at it, and it just sat there.
But then it did like a double paw smack, and kind of coming at him, right?
Yeah, it was a little sketchy, but it was a young, probably curious cat. But like he said,
you're talking about the one in Colorado or Utah where that's one's following that dude down the trail. Yeah. That one is scary.
This was a different one, similar, but it didn't chase him.
It was following him.
I've seen that same video you're talking about. Yeah. That was super sketchy.
Yeah, I would have been shooting.
This wasn't quite that sketchy.
Probably more than three shots, honestly.
I mean, at one point, he was from like me to Eric from our buddy, but
it was in like a Snapchat series, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yep. And
he GoPro just yelled at it. Was this a cell phone?
He was holding his phone, Snapchatting.
Well, he saw it and it was like standing there and it kept coming.
That's a good point. I'm listening, Travis.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Sorry, dude.
It's all good. He was basically like walking shed hunting and he heard something. He looks over, here's this cat, and he's like, oh shit. So he starts yelling at it. It won't leave, so he has time to get his phone out, and it's like coming at that point. It's like turning around when he starts videoing because it was already like as close as it's going to be. And he's like yelling as loud as he can, screaming at it basically, like, get away, whatever. And, it actually takes off and it runs, but you get a good look at it. It's a younger cat, looked a little skinny, probably just hungry, you know, hadn't figured out hunting entirely.
Right.
Maybe a 40 pound cat, something still, like that, you know, but
my
still.
House cat could fuck me up.
Yeah, for sure. Remember that day we were talking about that? It's like, you think about it, a piss off house cat, fuck you up.
Oh, yeah. So what you're saying is your cat is mean.
That was what today Jeremy and Travis were at the house. Like, hey, is your cat nice or something? I was like, yeah. I don't know why I like hesitated. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Still a cat.
Like he's about to maul him.
I'm like, yeah, it's nice. But it didn't sound too confident.
Do I fucking pet it or not?
But I watch my cat move, and like from what I've seen in footage and like hunt videos and stuff of mountain lions, they're kind of like the same thing, just like 12 pounds versus like 150 pounds.
All cats are the same. Absolutely. They all make the same movements and everything. It's creepy.
The places they go is crazy.
When we were in Wyoming, Kurt and I together 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I was rolling down through. I don't remember if we were retrieving one of the cat or bears that somebody had shot. I went and took pictures, whatever. We were rolling back up through this ditch that I hadn't been through before, middle of the day. And there's
it was Chance's kill.
Yeah, that's right. So Chance killed. We went down, took pictures, and then came back. And as we were rolling up through this big ravine, there's this big, 10-foot circle of just hair. Looked like mule deer hair. I'm like, whoa, what the hell happened here? The guide goes, Yeah, it was a cat kill. And I looked straight up, and there was a big old branch hanging right out over the top of this trail.
Yeah.
So from there on out, I was just looking up the whole way back, like, some bitch don't be coming down on it.
Well, this is a good transition.
She's going to pounce on you.
Yeah.
When I hunted Oregon with one of the guides out there, the hunt we went on with Loophole, we were looking up in the rim rock for bedded muleys just below the rim rock, because he said a lot of the big muley bucks are, like, bed up there by themselves, separate from all the other muleys. And he said that makes them susceptible to lion kills because they're by themselves. They're cornered back up against that rim rock on a cliff, and the lions will get up in there and get them. So he said a lot of times hiking up in there, you'll find a lot of dead, really big muleys because they were by themselves because they were big and isolated themselves. And that's where the cats always kill the bigger ones because they get up in that shit.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if that's true everywhere, but that's what this guy told me.
Well, I believe it. I mean, we've snuck on mule deer multiple times where you're able, like on a windy day, to get where like two, three yards, you know, and even in the hills, like we got above one here a couple years ago at like 5 yards.
The mule deer always bed down with something in their back.
Yep.
Yeah. Is it just, so let's talk about mule deer hunting because
absolutely,
it's kind of fitting. You guys live in mule deer country, obviously talking about buckswarm hunts and the 3 yard mule deer kill. Ross is fresh off a mule deer kill from South Dakota last year.
Yep.
So I'm going on my first Wyoming mule deer hunt. I drew a badass fucking tag out there. I'm going out in September. I'm stoked. And I want to absorb as much mule deer knowledge as I can. Now, I know South Dakota and Wyoming can be much different country. I know somewhere in there they're similar country.
Right.
But I don't know, are mule deer where they're at? Or I don't know how much experience you guys have out of state muley hunting. I know you've killed a lot of muleys, Travis, so... Throw mule deer shit at me.
Yeah, so, I mean, we do hunt a lot more prairie than we do, like, mountain and stuff, but we do hunt them in the hills, which I would say the hills is fairly similar to Wyoming on a smaller, like, scale. They're not as big a mountain ranges, but they act kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not getting back into, like, these big canyons. And depending on where you're hunting in Wyoming, you might not be either. A lot of Wyoming is, like, western South Dakota, more open country mule deer hunting.
This is very canyon-type country mm-hmm. in the mountain we're going. Yeah, it's very mountainous canyon.
So more than likely, you'll be spending way more time glassing than you will be hiking, walking, hunting. You know, I mean, that's you kill one with your binos, basically. I mean, that's where it's at. You kill them with a spotting scope. We always say that scouting is worth more than hunting. You know, if you can hunt 7 days, scout 4, hunt 3, it's one of those things. It's but a lot of stuff would transfer. I mean, there's definitely differences. I mean, anyone that has mule deer hunted high country in like Wyoming or whatever state, it's going to be substantially different than hunting like out on the prairie. There's still farm ground. There's still a lot of that. But these high country mule deer act completely different than that. So,
yeah,
I wouldn't say it would really cross. It might a little bit out of the Black Hills. And that's a whole different story. And that's a tough hunt. I mean, in the Black Hills, there's some big mule deer. It takes like 10 years for a resident or non-resident to draw on any deer tag in South Dakota. Or not archery, I guess, necessarily. Archery, you can hunt them every year.
Mm-hmm.
But rifle hunting them, for example.
In general or in the Black Hills?
In the Black Hills. So,
oh, really?
Like, outside of that, kind of got off course there. But the, like, in the Black Hills is kind of... like hunting Wyoming to some retrospect, because you do spend a lot more time glassing in that higher country. They're harder to find big time. I mean, they're there, but you don't see them, you know. I mean, until you pick it apart, unless you get lucky and stumble into them.
When does archery season start in the Black Hills?
South Dakota, it's September 1 now.
It is. So is Wyoming. That's
yep. So it's more similar than it used to be, because you used to not be able to hunt till like 4th week of September. So
yeah.
It's just a smaller mountain range more than anything, but...
And that's non-resident or resident starts September 1?
Yep.
If you apply before April 1.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, gotcha.
I didn't do that.
They recently changed it.
I didn't do that, and I got on the recently changed. And
that's for public land, but I believe that you can still hunt.
Yeah, you can apply like right now and get a non-resident
I applied
tag.
For mine 5 days before
but,
I left.
But private land
I
only,
got,
right?
And I got it. Correct. Yeah, it was private land because it says it comes bold red print right on there, not for public land. Because
yeah,
I,
private land, you're good.
Yeah.
Yep. And they changed that private, due to like there's a few areas in South Dakota that get overpressured, especially by non-residents, just because they're kind of reputable areas.
Mm-hmm.
And well, everybody would flood there based on what other tags they drew.
Gotcha.
So they kind of make you do it up front. because everybody was just coming in like, hey, I didn't draw Wyoming. Hey, I didn't draw Montana. I don't have a mule deer tag.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go scoop up South Dakota tag and I'm going to go hunting.
Right.
And so they changed it just to kind of limit pressure and it's made for a better hunt too. It doesn't affect, it's a guaranteed tag if you apply on time. And then there's just certain areas you also need to access permit. Some of them are limited access permits that you can apply for that you have a very good chance of getting as long as you don't miss the deadline. Others are guaranteed access permits you can virtually buy the day before the hunt. So
gotcha.
You just got to do your homework, really. I mean, you can't just like go in blind, or we have people message us all the time. We try to help them out. I mean, we like seeing people getting into the outdoors and just doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
We try to do it right. So it's fun to help them do it right, basically, instead of just, they go out there and they don't know the regs and they're hunting where they shouldn't be. And it's just,
what's one of the, like, give me the top three tactics you think that makes like a successful mule deer hunter in South Dakota or a successful mule deer hunter in general.
Are you in hilly or are you in the mountains?
This is for both you guys too. So
yeah,
anybody feel free to throw in.
Yeah. I'd say I'm going to give more knowledge on like prairie hunting just cause I have more experience with it, but I mean, scouting obviously is huge. I mean, that's just goes untold, unsaid. But probably one of the biggest things, in my opinion, is like weather conditions and hunting the right weather conditions. Because if you're hunting on like a bluebird calm day, it's hard to get close to one. I mean, it's almost impossible to get in tight to something when it's dead still out. You have to basically move like 0.0001 miles an hour. So I always like hunting windy days. You're going to get closer. You don't need to be able to shoot far. So the wind's not going to affect you too much.
Mm-hmm.
And positional, like if you're hunting an area and you don't, like if there's a lot of pressure there and you see an opportunity, I mean, maybe you want to give it a shot and you're not that confident that you're going to be able to get in there, fine. But if you bump that deer, just know that you're going to have a lot more trouble killing that deer in the coming days or coming weeks or coming months. You know,
it
just depends. You're going to throw them off their comfort zone. If nobody else is there, be patient, wait for your opportunity, wait for the right conditions, make sure the wind's right. I mean, a lot of it's common sense, but I like hunting windy days. And probably the number one thing is if you think you're going slow, go 10 times slower.
Oh, really?
I mean, we've had times we've sat on mule deer pretty much all day.
Just waiting them out or what?
I mean, yeah, exactly. A lot of guys,
a lot of guys get excited and blow it, trying to push it a little too hard.
Yeah, they like just get up there, they draw and they like walk over a hill really fast. It's like, take your time, take half a step or a quarter of a step at a time and glass for antler tips when you know you're in tight. Cause a lot of times you get around a mule deer and you're like, wait, was he there or was he there? Cause everything looks the same from the other side and you're just trying to get a landmark.
And I'll throw one thing in from experience that those little dugouts in the hilly country, it's prairie, but there's some hills out there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
From experience, the little dugouts that the cattle make, it's a cattle pasture or the deer are making them.
Yep. We've
got these little dugouts that they're laying down in.
Little cut banks.
Yeah, cut banks, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the time of day, too. If you get the wind in your face and you're good, if the sun's straight up, they're hiding in those shadows. And as the sun keeps going, you might sit there for 6 hours.
They'll move.
They'll get up and they'll move and they might move right into your lap.
Yep. And
you just got to be patient.
That's exactly what I shot. I shot mine out of a cutout in Nebraska.
Yep.
Yep.
And the one thing I'll say about mule deer that a lot of people might not know is if you're sneaking on them and you do spook them and they take off, draw your bow, because 99% of the time that mule deer is going to go 30, 40 yards, stop, and it's going to look at you. Mm-hmm. And there's your shot.
Yep.
A lot of people are going to spook it, get pissed.
Oh, it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not draw your bow. But if you draw your bow, and it's, I believe it's the same everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just a mule deer thing to stop, turn around and look what
and
the hell.
And turn broadside.
Exactly. I mean, they give you the perfect shot.
But you better be good at 70.
I remember you telling me that, Jeremy, when I killed my first antelope with you guys, the first antelope hunt, I was going the following week to Oregon to hunt.
Yep.
It was rifle season, but you could archery hunt there. So, but their archery only season had ended. Everyone told me to bring my bow. Like, they're going to be pretty jumpy because they've been chased around and all that. I drew on one and a doe busted me behind me. She got past me as I drew. She saw me and the buck didn't know. If it wasn't for that bitch, I would have probably shot him, but they were so pressured that they went like 60 yards and then were up on top of a ridge, then stopped and looked. They stopped and looked, but it was like, I feel like the pressure from the rifle season, the archery only season, all that, just they got 40 more yards out of their stop. And by then he was like 90 yards up a mountain.
They'd ran that play a lot.
Oh, he ran that play a lot.
That's another thing is mule deer. I don't know how.
And that outfit had been through there who knows how many fucking times.
Sure, right?
I don't know how legit it is, but it seems like when you're stocking mule deer, you're obviously going to go for, you know, a bigger buck. Well, when you're going in, there's always these little pockets of does or these little
that you don't
spikes
see
and four corns
satellite
that don't have any idea. They're
messengers.
They ruin it every fucking time.
Oh yeah.
It's always the little buck every time.
We sat on this great big one day for 6.5 hours straight, and he was on the opposite hillside, great big straight down ditch between us. And it was about a 60-yard stretch between us, but we didn't feel like shooting. You can't shoot him laying down. I mean, he needed to make a move.
Right.
The sun started moving. He gets up, works his way straight down to the bottom, gets in the shadows, and lays back down. So we slide over the hill to him, and it's like straight down. We get within, which we had no idea at the time, but we got within about 6 yards of three little spike buck muleys. And they were laying just right underneath us. And I got right behind my buddy and had the camera, and I say, he goes, at the same time, we're both going to sit up. I'm going to go to full draw, and he's a lefty. He's going to go full draw, and we're just going to sit up, basically. And I'm right behind him with the camera right over the shoulder and zap this big boy. And he goes a full draw. We both lean up, and these three little bucks just right in front
every
of us.
Time.
Just scared the holy shit out of us.
They're like the little lookouts.
So they are.
He
they
ran
are.
Out to about 105, and he ended up shooting right over his back, but
that's how it was in Nebraska. We went to this one spot. We didn't see shit all day, and he's like, "Oh, I got the honey hole." He's like, "We go over this giant hemp field." I'm like,
"A marijuana field?"
Well, hemp field. Yeah,
oh, hemp.
Kind of same thing. Kind of same thing.
Sorry.
But anyways, we were sitting there. I'm like, "I don't see any deer in here." He's like, "Just wait." I'm like, "This spot sucks."
Fuck this guy.
There ain't no deer. All of a sudden, that sun starts going down just a little bit, and all of a sudden, just heads just start popping up everywhere.
That's crazy.
And there's like 40 deer out there.
Yeah, they tore
like,
up that
hemp.
Didn't they like eating it and living in it?
Oh, they're bedding in it, and they don't hardly move off it because they'll just sit in there and eat it.
It's like
shit.
Perfect cover. Probably smells good.
Oh, yeah. It smells amazing.
Makes you feel good.
Makes you feel funny.
Well, that's why you get able to shoot one. It's moving all slow.
It makes a lot of sense. That
all nimbly
bibbly.
No, that was not the spot. But.
If you listen quietly, you just hear a Grateful Dead blaring out of the hemp.
That's right.
Just like, damn.
Just in the background.
They're having a good time. Let them be, man.
Just partying.
I love it.
Make peace,
cool.
Not war, man.
What do you guys like better, being in a mix of both, like whitetail and muley country? What's cooler to you guys right now? I know it probably changes, right?
I honestly, I like them both. It depends on what buck you got targeted.
Nope,
you got to pick one.
I'm going to go mule deer because I hate sitting in a tree stand. You and I have talked about it.
Yeah.
But this year we're going to Kansas, so I'm going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Even after like coming down in our neck of the woods and seeing the country here.
This
like,
makes me want to sit in a tree.
I'll probably go whitetail.
Absolutely.
Whitetails.
And I've hunted more than Jeremy has out of a tree stand. I've hunted more like Eastern South Dakota than he has. And like, so I have a little different perspective. Black Hills whitetail hunting can be very difficult. It's almost like hunting a subspecies of whitetail that I would compare not to the level of coos deer, but kind of similar where they're real small bodied whitetail deer. I mean, like 150 inch deer is a slammer in the Black Hills.
And they're little. Yeah. Their bodies are little.
So they look even bigger.
Right.
Yep, absolutely.
Dark chocolate horn deer. I mean, the genetics are still there, but that's just the genetics of the area.
Yeah.
I've always liked hunting that. It's just a different style
it's
hunt.
Hard.
Mountain whitetail hunts. It's not, you can't pattern them. They're not patternable. They don't have food plots to go to. They just do whatever the hell they want to do.
You got a little, now that they open the season, September 1, you got a little bit of time while they're in velvet.
That they're
more
like,
patternable.
But like, it's big woods.
A little bit patternable.
They go anywhere.
So, yeah. Can you guys, your normal deer tag, can you hunt the Black Hills with that tag? Or is the Black Hills like a special tag?
The archery tag, we can go anywhere in the state.
Okay. Yep. Statewide.
Now, you just have to have an access permit for the Black Hills, which is guaranteed. You just have to go on them.
And it's free.
It's free.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Gotcha.
They only do that so they know how many people are actively hunting.
Yeah.
So they can watch it.
Right.
If all of a sudden there's 40,000 people hunting in the Black Hills,
that's the one
they're
goal
is control it. So
is to shoot with a bow. We've shot lots of good deer in the Black Hills with rifle.
Mm-hmm.
But with a bow to shoot.
But you killed a slammer last year in the hills, right?
With a rifle.
Yeah.
But the goal is to get one with a bow, but they're so damn difficult to figure out in the hills.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, like, can a non-resident hunt the Black Hills also?
Yeah. Absolutely.
On a deer tag?
Yep.
Okay.
Archery. Cool.
And with an rifle, with an access permit?
Yep.
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 Yep. You just have to apply by April 1, and you can actually hunt their rifle, too. You just have to make sure that you are applying every year. It's going to take a while to get your tag. But
sure. Yeah. Sure.
And you can bow hunt with a rifle tag, so it can also be another bow tag.
And in the Black Hills, I think they're actually, like, what makes it difficult is I think they're actually semi-migratory. This is weird, but I've read a bunch of studies on where they winter and what
the whitetails are.
Yeah, some of them are and some of them aren't, according to these studies I've read. So for one instance is we have a buck that he's got a 4 or 5 inch drop tine.
Oh yeah.
And we get pictures of him all summer, but the second he loses his velvet, he disappears. Well, 1 year,
that's normal here though too.
Yep. We're like 7-8 miles away as the crow flies. And he shows up on another trail camera.
Oh really?
So yep. We'd be sitting there hunting that buck, and we just by 100% luck got another trail cam picture of him in this other spot we were looking for elk at.
And for the longest time, we didn't look at it that close. We're like, oh, that's a sweet buck. He's got a cool drop tine, and we only had a few pictures of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we got to looking, and we're like, dude, that's the same buck and 3 weeks ago. And
put two and two together at first.
Yeah. And it wasn't quite that far, but it was still a long ways. I drew a line on Onyx. It was 4.8 miles.
I think you guys would be surprised, though, because that's not too uncommon here. Like,
really? Yeah.
I've had the same thing, velvet pictures all summer, and then turn around and boom, they're clear over here. But now I've figured them out, and why I can't find him during season. I thought he was here because he was here all summer, but he just went 4 miles that way.
Yep.
And then he turns around and comes back late season, and I can't find him late season.
Dude, I think they do weird things. I mean, like, they're all wild animals, right? They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
But I think a lot change. Velvet comes off. Everybody kind of scatters for the most part.
Right.
Yep.
And I think a lot of it has to do with, like, what are their deer? What food's here? What food's there? Yeah. What are their deer on other properties? Because, I mean, in Illinois, where we're at, in Iowa, the same, just for the sake of this, the same area. Like you said, Ross, like, you have a typical 150-inch 10. Yep. He loses his velvet. He might be five properties over that, as a crow flies, could be 5 miles or whatever.
Right.
Well, and then you're like, man, I don't know what happened to this deer. I haven't seen him. Maybe he died. And then you find out after season your neighbor killed him or had pictures of him or whatever. Right. And
but
like,
I've had him come back, too. So and then when late season gets in and after rut's all over, they go back. They go back to where they were, and you had them all summer long.
Or even velvet comes off. They do their thing. You're like, what the hell? Scratching your head a little bit. But you might have a buck show up late October, and then you're like, oh, shit, I haven't had any pictures of him. He just moved in. Yep. He's there for a bit, and then he's gone again. Come the rut, things get unpredictable.
That's like my mom's early muzzleloader buck. He on trail camera, we didn't know he showed up yet, but she shot him, 172-inch 10-pointer. 3 days before that, he showed up on trail camera.
And didn't have anything else.
Didn't know he was around.
Some neighbor is pretty sad about that.
In October was that?
October, maybe around the 18th, I believe.
I'm not going to get specific, had the same thing with that one buck. Came in about the same time, and he was out by November 3rd and somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I've noticed a big thing, too, with the crop rotation. Like, if we have beans or corn.
And your neighbors are doing, too.
And even if we have, like, beans on ours and the neighbors have beans or vice versa, there's a huge difference there also.
Right.
Yeah. You got an Instagram hunter next to you on your property, and then all the deer will be pushed over on yours because he's trying to be on Instagram all the time in the woods showing how much scouting he's doing.
For sure. And
thanks, bud.
Doug.
I've noticed,
thanks,
too.
Pal. At me, bro.
I'll send you the picture.
At me. He's on your way.
Dang right.
Well, I've noticed. So you got.
Sorry, Travis, to cut you off. You're going to make a point. We're just got.
That's okay. I just took a drink of beer. We good.
All right, go ahead.
So I've gotten a little lick of what you guys do out there in South Dakota. I have two different years.
I'm making sound effects.
Where's your lick thing at?
I don't have a lick.
I've been out there 2 different years.
Yeah.
And.
Sorry, I'm not used to my soundboard.
I've been out there two years.
Yeah, we're getting there.
I've been out there 2 years.
And for me, never spotting and stalking and doing any of that, like, that is the bomb. That's cool. That's fun.
Oh,
so you guys need to get out here and sit in a tree stand.
Yeah.
We're getting a little taste of it this year, so.
Well, and I've
come
been,
on out, Illinois OTC.
You bet. And
only
you,
if I kill your big ones.
I've been to Kansas.
No, easy.
And I know Kansas is a little different, talk. But the area of Kansas that I actually hunt is looks fairly similar to this. A little less timber,
yeah.
But similar, like layout, hilly, big river bottom type, creek bottom stuff. And so I kind of get it. And I've hunted a lot of Eastern South Dakota. I went to college out there, hunted out there for 4 years and some change. So I love it. There's nothing better than being in a tree stand in November in big timber. I mean,
it's something about it. See, I'm glad you understand that. This motherfucker over here don't understand it.
Yeah.
He's holding his nose up over there.
He's like, that's stupid.
You know, he needs some milk.
I got to know what's over that next.
I need some milk. He needs some milk.
He needs some milk.
Damn it.
You need to leave.
Jerry loves milk.
He's going with this year, and I think he'll be hooked.
It might change, but we'll see. I'll let you know.
It'll be good.
Prime you man. Know, here's the thing. Here's what I hope for you. I hope you just get... I hope you sit 2 days full. Like, you're like, ah.
The whole day?
Yes. Or you know, get some lunch.
Come on, man.
Of course, I got to be able to go over the next hill.
I want you to feel it.
Oh, he's going
to
get out of the tree
and
walk.
This is where you're off a little bit. If you know what's over there, that's cool. Like, you've done your scouting or whatever.
Right.
But then what's cool about it is it could come over the hill at any time.
Yeah, that's true.
That's like the anticipation of it. Like, you're waiting ready for him to come over.
They ain't
the hill.
Laying there in a little cutout just waiting on you to walk up.
Yeah, whitetails aren't doing that.
They're coming to you.
Sneak on them.
Yeah. But
out there in your socks.
I want you to have a little bit of, like, I want you to have some hours then, but then have a good whitetail buck come in at 15, 20 yards and the crisp leaves kicking through, and you're like, whew. And you get excited, you draw back, and then it's just...
And then he whiffs.
Yeah. Wow, one guy's on my team. But what a hell of an experience, man.
I believe in you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Doug. Hey, it might change.
If not, his hat slap you.
Listen, man. Right. I hope you kill one. And I hope you come back and you're like...
Are you guys both hunting on this trip?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We both drew tags this year, so...
Sweet.
Hell yeah.
I'm excited for it. That'll be cool. It's like for you coming out to South Dakota, it was totally new.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go out there, it's going to be a whole different ballgame.
I think you'll love it.
I never spent a lot of time East River, South Dakota bow hunting.
Well, next time tell Kurt to order a truck in the fall, so then you guys can bring it out then.
Yeah,
you
for
know?
Next year.
Maybe we should get on like the every fall plan.
You guys have something like that?
I got kids to feed, Kurt.
Hey, we need to shout out the dealership.
Yeah, so both Jeremy and I, we don't just do this full-time, obviously. We work at Liberty Chrysler Center in Rapid City, South Dakota, at the Dodge Ram store. I'm sales manager there. Jeremy's one of our sales consultants there.
I'm one of his minions.
Yeah,
is it weird that I actually looked at your guys' lot on your before you came out just to see if you got any shit on?
Ever since I told people
any Rangers?
Ever since I've been telling people I was buying a truck through you guys. Because you can't get trucks in our area right now.
No.
Everyone's like, where'd you get that truck? Yeah, where'd you find a truck?
Tell me you got the hookup.
I drove through Mills last night. Not a single new truck on the lot.
No wow. Shit.
Nothing.
Well, that'll lead me into this next point. So we do deliver stuff. And if anyone's listening to this, I'll let Jeremy take it from here.
Use code WCB and get 15 grand off your next order.
15 well, grand.
I'll use that right now.
Hot damn.
15%.
I like that.
15 bucks.
We'll stick to 500 bucks no matter what. No questions asked. 500 bucks off, period.
Use code WCB.
We got you.
So. Call Jeremy. Message me on Facebook. Jeremy Meyer. More bucks.
You should probably just shout out your cell phone number because everybody
don't do that.
Message us on Buckstorm.
Don't put your phone number.
I get enough warranty
your Snapchat.
Calls as it is.
Your cars.
Here, hold on. I got it. I can give you the phone number.
I will tell you, though. So I want to talk a little bit about trucks because I made a post on I'm bringing up the Working Class Boat Hunters group again. Join our group. We're proud of it. It's fun there.
We're in it.
If you don't like inside jokes in the podcast, in don't
when you're
join.
Here, you're family.
I love about our group or our podcast group, you get somebody that joined it, but doesn't, even though it says a group brought to you by the Working Class Boat Hunter podcast and it's all chats about the podcast, you'll get one like just out of the loop boomer. What's all this fucking shit? And then he's reporting posts in the group, and then I just end up deleting them. I'm like, you'll never get it. You'll just never get it. Like, if you're that removed, you'll just have a good time. You'll never get it. But I made a post in there about kind of what people use for their truck setups.
Yeah, that blew
I
up.
I saw that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because it's such an important tool. I think a truck is an overlooked and not talked about enough on podcasts or videos and stuff like that is like what your hunting rig is, because I live out of my truck from, well, hell, not since we started doing Western shit, September or earlier until fucking season's over in January, you know?
And I always live out of my truck. Go look at it right now.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Mess. It's full of shit and you eat Casey's pizza and you're, I mean, you're having a good time in your truck. You're having misery in your truck. You're driving and you're
got the ozone go going.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything. You live out of the fucking thing.
Yep.
So I had a Chevy Silverado with like the, it's like a double cab. So it's an extended cab with some bullshit half doors. Don't get me wrong. Love that truck. And
don't worry, you guys will sell it. No problem.
Thanks for that.
Anyone
thanks
for taking that Kurt's old truck.
But,
give
but
us a call.
It's good for a single guy.
Yeah.
But you have kids, you need a car seat in that thing.
Right.
But it wasn't a problem until I had to put car seat in it. Other than that, it's a good truck.
You just got to turn that car seat sideways. So
yeah.
It's like right there behind the driver's seat.
I just put a ratchet strap around the thing and then just slid her through the thing.
Did you wiggle the strap? Be like, yeah, that ain't going nowhere.
Don't worry.
Going nowhere.
Dad's good with a ratchet strap.
It's a dad thing.
That ain't going nowhere.
But anyway, ever since that we started hunting with you guys and riding around in the Rams, I'm like, these trucks are designed. And I have no reason to plug Ram. I don't give a shit. Like, it's just, right. They're good trucks for outdoor people.
Kurt, we're trying to get a sponsorship through the dealership right now. So.
Yeah, easy.
Listen, I'm giving...
Tippy toe. Like,
you know what? I don't need a sponsorship through the dealership. I got Buckstorm. They are our sponsor. So I wanted a Ram ever since hunting out of your guys. It's like for this cab space and all that. And actually, this sounds dumb, but you don't realize it until you're like doing a lot of looking through a window. Like, the cab height makes a big difference. And
absolutely.
How you look through glass. Like, you're trying to make it like antelope. You're trying to spot shit from the road. Then you park and you make your move or whatever it may be.
Yep.
And it's just harder to do. And some of, like, the mid-sized trucks or even in my Chevy, just not as spacious. So that's why I wanted a Ram so bad. So that's what I ended up getting.
Yep. And, like, ride quality, I'm not plugging Ram too much here. Like, everybody makes a good truck.
This is his inner salesman.
But
but this is honest, though. Like,
this
you guys
is just
drive
honest.
These
like,
trucks.
So I was a Chevy guy forever, and I had no reason to change from Chevy other than I worked at a Ram dealership. So I'm like, well, I should probably drive a Ram because I sell them, you know? But mm-hmm. I liked my Chevy pickup until I got my Ram and realized that, like, the ride quality was just better, like washboard gravel roads, which we drive all the time. Just it's safer too. I mean, if you've got a family, they just absorb it better
because
they don't have leaf springs. I mean, that's the gist of it. So long story short, I mean, they do make a good truck, and I think you're really going to like that truck that you got.
I'm excited for cab space. Like, I was going to fly to Wyoming for my mule deer hunt, but I'm going to drive now. I'm thinking about doing, so my post was about the decked drawer bed system. So the two big drawers, but you still store shit on top. So, I always liked the idea of a topper, but I was scared of having a topper and then trying to get a whitetail buck or whatever in the back. Cause normally I'm loading deer by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's been fine in my Chevy. Cause I kind of have a system. I get up close, get the head kind of up there, get in, I get on my belly, pull it up, get on my knees, pull it up, get the head in, and then do one hard, like,
oh, those back hips are hard to get in there.
Yep. The back hips, because they fold underneath the tailgate.
They catch every time.
Every time.
You got to get your rhythm. You get the ugga chugga, let it come back. Ugga chugga, ugga.
Okay. And then the ram jam.
And then the ram jam. Then it pulls poom, over the tailgate.
Then you rely on the old Busch Light strength to bring you home.
That and like your fifth vertebra, like, what do they call it? It's not your vertebrae.
Spinal.
Your spinal.
Broke my back.
Spinal. It blows out, and then you hurt for like a week, but you got it in the back of your truck.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Worth
you don't have to climb a tree for like a week anyhow because you're taken.
Yeah, you're done.
So. Right. Well, we got two buck tags in Illinois. What's up?
Wow.
So
get up there then, right?
Hey, back saver right now, the luggage rack, you can just flop them right on there.
See, and that's
strap
the thing.
Down.
So that was one of the recommendations because I wanted one of those deck bed systems.
One of those guys posted the badass little rack that they put in their 2-inch receiver.
But I don't want that on the back. One, because
you got to trip over it to get in the back.
It looks like shit.
Shin
and two,
blaster.
When you pull a deer on there, you advertise what you killed as you pull out of your property.
True,
I don't want to do that.
I wouldn't want to do that either. But that seems pretty handy for shooting does.
I'll do it.
It's super handy for shooting does, but I don't even want anybody knowing I'm in there shooting does on any of my ground, you know? Like, I took the stickers off my trucks because
it's a different world here than it is out there.
It's different,
that's
dude,
crazy.
Because everything is owned by someone.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's more populated out here, like smaller track ownership, yeah, like where we're from, yeah, like if you own 3,000 acres and you ranch, like that's a small tract. Yeah. Like very right. small.
That is like the most massive tract here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, crazy.
Like goddamn.
If you hunt, you're like, yeah, I got a 3,000 acre piece. You got, dude, you don't ever hear about that.
You're like, no.
And then too, like
900 is huge. Right?
Around
900's fucking massive.
Around here, some people own 3,000 acres, but it's not a continuous piece like it is out west.
It's not huntable.
No, 3,000.
Yeah. Like
chunk.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yep. 40 acre chunks are, but you know, 40 acre pieces arguably are some of the better pieces because there's more predictable movement patterns. Like, too much almost is a motherfucker. You all right, Russ?
I'm stretching my ass. I'm tired of sitting.
So you got a kidney stone? What's going on?
You fixing something down there?
I'm just got to stand up for a minute.
He's got the shitty chair.
But basically what I was getting to with the deck system and a topper is what I wanted for my setup. One, your gear is safe, out of the elements. But then how do you get a buck in by yourself with a topper and one of those deck systems?
Not much room at all.
Yeah,
that's another 12 inches to pull up.
Well, I can
exactly
add on that because I have a topper on my pickup.
And a drawer system.
And, well, I took the shelf out during hunting season. I left it in there during like antelope or any time I was cutting up a deer. And it's a little different. Like when we're hunting early season and stuff, we're usually hunting public land and we know we're cutting up the deer.
Yeah.
So you could dang near hunt out of a car if you wanted to, cause you're hiking in, you got coolers, you got ice blocks. So it's a little different, but I did.
Yeah, Kurt, what's up? Start quartering your deer out.
I loaded.
I've been in some spots for about fucking half, you know?
Right. And I loaded two deer the same day, pretty much by myself this fall, when my wife and I were rifle hunting in Western South Dakota.
I believe it.
Probably.
Something like that.
By the way, Giants.
Yeah, I mean.
Decent.
It was all right.
Decent.
It was.
I wouldn't have shot him, but.
Just made a shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be my first pedestal mount, so he was all
right. Dude, how big a Mealy?
180.
80 looks bigger than that.
He looks bigger. I thought, honestly, when I, because I'm in the loop a little.
Yeah.
I thought high 90s.
Yeah. Well, when I saw him on the hoof, like, I'm usually pretty good at judging him, but I was like, I know he's 180, but he could be 200.
You know what I love about this video?
And I couldn't sleep that night.
Dude, what I love about that video is, like, you shot him and didn't even go to recover him right away.
No, because, so, long story short. Yeah, it was like
beat off and took a nap.
Yeah, crank one out.
Fucking punch his clown
him
in the
wife, yeah.
I gotta relax.
I mean, easy. We don't record the whole time, so
shake up weird.
You were with your wife.
Yeah, I was, and my dad actually. So we kind of
weird. That got weird.
No. Stop. He wasn't there, but the only reason we were hunting is like we didn't have a babysitter.
Yeah,
and we were supposed to. We usually all three go out opening weekend. It's kind of like a tradition. And my dad stayed back. He offered to stay back, and he loves hunting. Like it's our tradition to go out opening weekend. But my wife had to work every weekend after that. She's a nurse, so it was like her only weekend to hunt. So he's like, "I'll stay back," because he knew that him and I would get back out. And we had no idea what was going to happen that morning. But we were done by like 10 a.m. on opening day.
You want to grab beers, Eric?
We were back. So
please, I don't care what you grab. Yingling. I'll have to have a Yingling.
I got
to
pee. So do I.
Dealer's choice.
Split.
Sword fight?
You guys a sword fight or what?
Let's do it.
Oh, dang. I wish
my money's on Eric.
But basically.
It's more efficient. One flush.
Yes. Yes. Do it.
We're listening, right,
Travis. Sorry, Travis. Damn it.
No. You're good. I don't care at all. The only reason I brought this up is because I loaded both those deer in my topper and pretty much by myself. And whitetails in South Dakota
quarter,
are a little
though, right?
smaller. No, full.
Oh.
Because it was cold. I mean, we didn't have any reason to cut them up that day. Because
so you were able to, like, drive down to them?
Close. I mean, yeah, close enough where you could do it. And don't get me wrong, my wife still helped, but she's a pretty small gal.
It's just different.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I can say the topper does kind of get in the way, especially on a mule deer is probably comparable to, like, a body size of an Illinois whitetail, realistically.
Yeah.
Because of, like, Western South Dakota whitetail doesn't get as big. Eastern South Dakota, probably not too much smaller than what you guys are used to. But
a little
Western
more grain-fed.
Yeah, exactly. But I got them in there, but it wasn't easy. We'll just put it that way.
Right.
However, like, everything in between, and if, like, where we're at when you're cutting up a deer, you have all your gear. You can stack it so much higher. It's not blowing out. Like, there's times.
Yeah.
Like turkey decoys and stuff are just sitting back there. We just leave them with the fan on, everything, you know, because there's no reason to, you don't need to mess with it. But that deck toolbox takes a little more out. But I've actually been looking for one myself because I think it'd be a sweet setup.
A decked brand?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's my thing with them. And I wanted one because I like the fact that they make the foam inserts and you can put your bow down in them. And yep. then have the gear. Like, I want to be able to slide my pack in there, have a nice little archery toolbox. It's all nice and clean with a topper. And then I can just pull my bow out. It's ready to go. I don't have to carry a case with me because it's cased.
Mm-hmm.
And not only you have to have it in a case or a zip tie around the string. You can't ride around the cab.
Even on a bow?
Yep. You cannot.
Yeah.
I don't know why, I don't know how Iowa is, but you cannot.
I think it's the same.
I think you guys need a new governor, maybe.
It doesn't fucking matter. We're fucked.
I just walked in, but what do you got to do with your bow?
In Illinois, you cannot ride around with your bow not in a case or a zip tie counts.
Put a zip tie around the string. I don't know if you can get away with a release, like strapped around the strings or not.
So you got to have a zip tie around your bow.
Zip tie is a bow case, or it has to be cased. That's why I was saying the deck drawer system for the bed would be very valuable for us, because the bow goes in there. It's cased.
Then. I hang my bow off the back of my seat, my headrest, with my TNK bow sling.
You guys are insane.
And I just grab it.
Crazy.
I grab it, throw it over my shoulder, and
you
go.
Got, like, the best.
So you don't ride around
there.
With rifles next to you?
We can't.
Yeah,
it has to be cased. And
you can have a rifle riding shoddy.
That's a problem we can't happen.
Can't have that.
We can't do it.
But you're not the only state.
We don't
either.
Have rifle season.
There's lots of states that don't allow it. Like,
we got coyote season.
Cased. I mean, I think Minnesota was that way. I don't know if they still
not
are,
even a season. It's just year round.
That's why those deck systems are attractive to me. But I was trying to think, and a lot of people threw this at me in the comments. Is like, well, get like a Harbor Freight winch, or just get like a pulley system with a sheet of plywood.
There was a lot of good ideas on that pulley.
Yeah,
that
and so I thought about maybe trying to hook something up where I can put like a 2x6 up in the front of the bed on top of the deck system and have like some sort of pulley system with like a boat winch.
There's a lot of rednecks in there that come up with shit.
Yeah, I'll have to go through and like make my own system. But
so, somebody posted on that when they had like the real short roller, like basically just a flat. It wasn't 12 inches tall like the decked. Mm-hmm. It was real.
It was a whole bed slide.
Like the whole thing slid out.
Yeah.
And there's a few Ameren engineers that I got to meet with all the time, meeting about services and everything else. It's they drop their tailgate and they pull that thing back, and some of them have toppers, some of them don't. They just have like a bed cover,
mm-hmm.
and they'll pull the whole bed out.
Well, that's like that tray that pulls out.
Yeah, it's a tray.
It's like a tray,
a rolling
tray. It's only like that tall.
Yep.
So like I think
four or five inches tall or whatever.
I think if I were going to do anything, and I've looked at decked a lot, and I've actually had one.
It'd be valuable for you with your business though too.
It would be, but I've had one. My buddy has one. I had one for about 2 days, and I pulled it back out.
A deck system?
Yep. Because I was going to buy it from the guy, and I put it in there, and just it wasn't really fitting. I think I would go with more of one of those.
If you don't have a topper, your bed's gone.
You got to have a topper. Otherwise, you're right. It's gone. But if I had a topper, I would go with decked. If I didn't have a topper, I'd go with this other one. And even if I did have a topper, I think for
you're
me
talking
personally,
about the other one is in the
tray.
The tray.
Let's call it a tray. So I think I would go with a tray, personally, a tray and a topper, and then I would have a tarp. So if I was pulling deer up in the back of that thing, I'd have a tarp out because most guys carpet that tray.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I have an idea.
And then you could use your regular bow case and the whole bed sliding out. So you throw your bow in your bow case, plus you have your antlers, your backpacks, all that stuff. You just pull it all out, and you can walk all the way around it.
I like that. But I'm thinking loading a deer by myself. That's how I typically don't have help when I load a buck in my truck. Or a doe or whatever it is.
We need a topper that pops up. It's got like shocks on it, and you just stand that thing up and get in the bed of your truck.
Awesome.
It is harder to load a deer with now that Travis has the topper. It is harder to load a deer.
What's your idea, Eric?
Well, that little tray system.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a way you could like have it slide out
and tilt.
And tilt down to the ground.
Make a
ramp.
Then
you can pull the deer up on there.
And then just pick it up.
And just
then
pick
roll
it up
in.
And roll it back in. There's got to be a way.
Well, Eric just figured it out.
Or I got some sort of boat winch and pulley just in the two like loops
that.
On the front of the bed.
You wouldn't even need that. You just
I
have
know
to
what
have
you're
it
saying.
Hinged somehow where it goes down to the ground, where you can pull the deer up on the tray.
Like you get up kind of in your bed a little bit. And
no, up on the whole tray slides out, goes down to the ground, so it's like a ramp.
Yeah.
So you pull the deer up on the ramp.
It'd have to be a shallow slope, though, to get it to stay there.
Well, you'd have to attach it to it somehow. You
yeah.
tie a rope on it or hook it somehow.
Right, and pick it up and slide it in.
And then it's long enough that you got the leverage to
lift it.
Physically lift it up and slide it back
That's
in.
That's what a lot of people do with sheets of plywood.
Right. Yeah, you could do it with that too, but
so maybe that's the move if you have a topper.
You have the tray where you can just
rolls back in.
Does the tray flat? Does it slide out or does it like?
I think
it slides out.
It's on ball bearings.
It's like a drawer on your toolbox.
I know there's some that have like if you have rocks in there, it's got like a crank. And you can dump the rocks. Maybe that's the move. Get to where it slides out, angles down, and you crank it the other way, and it gets the deer onto it. Then you lift it up and slide it back in. I don't know. I thought it was a good topic since we were on the truck thing. Like, what setup do you have? But I don't know. I haven't decided.
You got me thinking now.
I'm still leaning on the deck system with a topper. But then I'm $2,000 in on a topper, and I'm $1,300 in on a deck system.
Yeah.
Unless you talk about it enough and they send you one.
I would really love a deck system, and I'd probably even talk about it a little more if I got one for free.
Amen.
I think about it.
We're fucking whores.
Are you out there decked?
Hey, decked anyone?
Hey, where you at?
Marketing rep at Decked. Hello. Hey. Hey, listen.
Is this thing
we
on?
Got buttons.
Come on. We got buttons.
We got soundboard.
Come on in. We just need a few. Just send me
one.
Hey,
I'll take a picture. I promise.
You send us 8 of them? Ain't nothing off your back. What's it cost you? $200 to make one of them plastic pieces of shit?
Yeah, well, easy. There it goes.
That's a nice unit.
They're
gone.
I'll
get you a free one.
They gone.
Just kidding. I'm sure they're really well built. I don't know until I have one.
That's good. Good point.
They are really well built, and they can hold like 1,200 pounds or something on top of it.
I think 2,000 pounds.
2,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they can hold Eric.
I'm telling you, I think they're awesome. I think they would be perfect with a topper and a decoy and your bow case and everything in there, or your bow in the drawers.
Yeah, that's what I like.
I think
about
that's awesome, but it's after the kill. They're in my opinion, they would be perfect for on your way to a hunt.
Right
after the kill, that's where I have a problem.
Yeah, yep. Agreed. Yep.
My opinion.
I think it would take anyone that's listening that has one that has done this. Let us know their reviews. There was a couple guys in there though that had the deck system and a topper, and he has a picture of him with his daughter of the buck laying in his bed on top of the system. He said, love it. Love the setup.
But he also didn't send you copies of his chiropractor bills either.
Maybe he's got a setup to load them, though. Maybe there's a trick, you know?
He probably actually Low just winch. Has Aflac.
Aflac. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Nailed it.
Definitely has that.
While we're on the truck topic, what's probably the bet? Like, you guys probably see a lot of hunters come in and buy trucks, right?
Is that
a fairly common deal?
Yeah, we actually have quite a few of our followers that come in and see us too, which is kind of neat. But really? Yeah,
they don't buy anything, they just come see you.
What's the most sold like Dodge or whatever pickup you guys sell, most model, the most common model for hunters,
or certain accessory?
Yeah, or certain accessory or whatever it may be. Like, what's the thing that wins people over?
Probably, I mean, on the new side, I'd probably say like a Rebel, like a Ram Rebel, because it's geared for like more off-road mud type use, but it's not like a Raptor, like the new Ram TRX. Like, it's not overkill. It's kind of like a Laramie with the off-road kit.
Do they have the side boxes that fold up?
You can get those. Yeah,
that's Jeremy Beck, number one Rebel,
and that's number one.
That is number one, huh?
The Ram box.
The Ram box that he just mentioned.
Describe the Ram box. What is it?
It's a toolbox on the side of the bed that it's hard to explain. Most people probably know what it is, but it flips up, and they sell inserts for it that you can put guns in, fishing poles.
Yep.
You don't want
to. What do I got to do to get one of those in my truck?
Buy a new one next year.
Okay, sick.
We'll come back. Yeah.
Can't
see
wait.
You next fall.
Yeah.
The only negative with that is if you're running a topper, you can't run a topper with one.
Because it folds up.
Yeah, that just doesn't work. I mean,
but you can run a tuxedo or something, though.
Yeah, for sure. So that's
a what?
A tuxedo.
A tonneau cover.
A tuna cover.
It basically eliminates the need of a toolbox.
Gotcha.
Essentially.
So the Rebel comes with that?
Yeah. No, the Rebel doesn't necessarily. I was saying Rebel was probably like the number one new that we see hunters like.
Just because of the off-road package?
Yeah, but the number one feature, which you can get on pretty much any trim level, no matter what. Like, if you don't want to spend as much money, you just get a more basic truck, you can still get those toolboxes on the side.
The heated steering wheel.
So.
And there's a lot of damn storage in those things. You found that out today.
So this is the nicest truck I've even been around, like, or even like, you know, I've been around nicer trucks, of course, but like for the realm of me owning, it's insane. Like, I'm so stoked. I just want to go drive it around right now.
Yeah.
But the big win for me is like cab space for kids, of course, car seats, and then hunting equipment. Like, you know, I can put stuff in there. When I go to Wyoming, even if I don't have a topper by then, if I decide not to spend the money and not to get the deck system, all my gear can go in the cab behind my driver's seat.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Not to mention that when we go to trade shows, this truck's got a little more power than my other truck.
It's a dude cruiser.
It's a dude cruiser. Like, I fucked myself because now I'm the dude who has to drive.
Yep.
Yeah,
it was
did.
Doug.
But he says that acting like he doesn't like it, but he likes
it. I do like it, but that's...
Why do you think I bought shit boxes now? I was that guy at one point, now I don't have to drive anywhere.
Listen, it's all good.
You were that guy for like 3 months.
It's all good.
Then you traded down.
Hey, listen, you guys just got to call me daddy when I drive.
That's fine.
That's all I want to hear.
It's like in high school when you like get your first car, no matter what it is. Whoever has like the biggest one, like their mom's minivan, is driving everywhere.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Because you can fit the most people in it. But if you have like a little regular cab pickup, you never have to drive.
No.
Kids are both getting like little regular cab
pickups. That's smart.
Ford Ranger.
That's a smart move. It's a smart
Ford
move.
Ranger.
No, you know that's
Ford
a lie.
Ranger.
They're going to have rebels.
Yeah.
You have two rebels parked in the front.
The money he makes? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
What the hell? You guys are all screwed. You guys got, I don't know, 20 kids each or whatever the hell.
I got four.
I only have two twins, and they can share a vehicle because there's, I mean.
Because they're twins.
They're going to date the same girls anyway, so.
Yeah.
That's going to be my daughter so far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're screwed.
As long as they're paying for gas, I'm all right.
I'm glad
fuck.
I'd say I'm glad you guys are far away, but I got Ross's boys and then Chandler's boys and then, hell, who knows whatever the hell Eric's going to be squeezing out over here.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah.
Never know.
We don't know what we're having yet for a second kid.
We don't know for our first one.
Yeah, so I'm saying you could have a boy and I have two girls, and I'm like, God damn it, I got to keep all these hellions away from my daughters.
My boys hope you have a girl.
I know, yeah. And then one more after that.
Yeah.
Hey, at least you know where they're at when they go somewhere.
Hey, listen, if my daughter's dating, she's dating for property. So just know that, Ross.
Amen.
Hey, you got to share a lease with old brother Kurt. He'll be sleeping in that man cave down there. Like, hey, listen, man.
Yeah, you kind of screwed yourself there.
Hey, Ross can have to give you a key.
Ross, can I use the Ranger? I killed a deer over and I don't want to put it on because I put a deck system in my truck, my backer.
And a topper.
Yeah, I got a topper.
I put a deck system on with a tune out cover. I don't know how to figure this out.
Yeah.
Hey, you know that tune insurance station? Yeah, he's dead.
I got a tuxedo on my truck, Ross. Can you help me out? Can I borrow your Ranger?
I don't want to get blood in this thing.
Hey, hope you don't mind. I went in your kitchen and made a sandwich.
Shit.
Listen, if it backfires on me there, it backfires on you later.
Yeah. That's a fact.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Just know that.
Hey, just remember you're paying for the weddings.
Oh, shit.
That's true. That's
damn.
True.
Yeah, that is a tough trade. Well, hey.
Daddy's got to sell the Dodge to pay for a wedding.
I got a single cab Ranger. How many years of leases would a wedding pay for?
A lot.
Oh, boy.
Quite a bit.
Yep.
Hopefully your boys are simple-minded. Hopefully my daughter's smarter.
Yeah. One or the other.
Dude, you know, we joke about it, though, but fuck. That shit's crazy.
And it's coming.
It's coming. It's not that far away, man.
Yeah. You blink, it'll be here.
Think when we were in high school not long ago.
I know.
You know, like it feels like yesterday.
Yeah, when I think like, I'm like, holy cow, that was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And like,
it seems like yesterday.
College, and now I've been at the same full-time job for like 8 years.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's been like a year, and my kids were born yesterday, and now they're 3 years old and terrorizing our house and running rampant.
The older you get, the faster it goes, and they ain't shitting.
Peeing in the neighbor's
yard. Isn't it weird when you're young? Like, it feels like a long, like a summer.
Yeah.
Felt like I remember like hitting 4th of July, and my summer, I'd be like, oh, I still got time left. I hated school with a passion.
Yep.
So I talked to my wife, I'm like, when our daughter starts going to school, you're gonna have to take over that, because if my daughter doesn't want to go to school, I'm gonna be like, don't go.
I'll call you.
I understand,
dude. I hated school so much.
They'll just figure it out where your buddy calls you in as your old man, and then
dude, if my daughter's like, daddy, I don't want to go, I'll be like, all right, daddy's got you. Mommy's at work. Hey. Don't need to know. Like, hey. I don't give a shit.
Cams.
I don't care, man. Yeah, like, fuck school.
I'll call you in, but I'm going hunting stuff.
It's once you hit fourth grade. It's pretty fucking pointless.
Yeah,
it's pretty pointless. Like, you don't need to know math now. The internet exists.
Yeah, you could add to 100. I mean,
yeah, you're good.
You're smart.
You know how often I do math? Never.
No.
That's what calculators are for.
Yeah,
exactly.
Ask me to do simple math, my brain just hits a traffic jam, dude.
Just get on the Google machine. He'll tell you. She made Christmas.
I still ask my wife.
Ask Alexa. She'll tell you anything.
Yeah, you're good. You don't need anything.
I think Doug's mustache could easily calculate like a math equation.
Dude, that thing's doing calculus right now.
It's always thinking.
If I had his mic turned up a little more, you'd be hearing math equations coming through that motherfucker.
Like off of The Hangover when he's just thinking of numbers. That's what it does.
Yeah, when he's playing poker.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
You should probably just scoring be a deer. Card counter.
Just scoring deer.
Dude, yeah. The top of Doug's like mic filter, his screen filter there is white because his mustache just cleaned it the whole time when he talks.
Well, no, and there's a little couple hairs sticking out of there. Yeah, he just loses one.
Like a wire brush.
Just drops in there.
A wire brush.
Like a wire brush.
Doug cleans welds with that motherfucker.
This is going downhill so fast. Just
cleaning. This is an in-studio podcast, boys. We got a lot of
time. I think it's going uphill.
But hey, it's all...
I got no complaints.
How you want to look at it. But it's... I like how it like it goes into... Like, trucks are an important tool.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And something I don't think we've ever actually talked about on the podcast, like, in more detail than that.
Yep.
And then I just spiraled down into talking about life in general, because we live it. I mean, we're working class, right? We all have families, and we're trying to...
Yep.
Well, maintain a day job and then you got kids somewhere.
Fuck. I hope not.
Fuck.
Damn. You'll see him at ATA show in a couple of years.
Yeah. That's a good looking mustache.
Yeah. What are you, six?
It came out of the womb.
Where are you from?
Hell, you look just like Dale Earnhardt. Hell, you look just like me.
Who's your mom? What pro staff she on?
Yeesh.
What duck hunt has she gone on the last 3 years?
I think she bought 6 big time shirts.
Yeah. No, there it is.
Shit, fuck.
It's dark. It's a dark.
Where's Joe at? I got to talk to him.
Shots of Jameson. Oh, man, I love it. So, no, I like the mule deer talk, the tactics there, because I had that coming up. So, like, that's where I'm geared. And, like, when I have a hunt, I see how I hard changed. When I have a hunt coming up, I always try to, like, gear my mindset for that. And what's good about having a family and all that stuff in a backyard, I'm now transferring it. Like, my daughter wants to play outside. So, all I'll do, I'll get the ranger, pull the ranger around. Mom will come outside, we'll all play, but I'll start slinging arrows. And she's getting to the age where she can sling arrows with me here.
Mm-hmm.
But I can shoot, if I shoot every day, I don't have to shoot 100 arrows every single day. I can shoot 25 arrows, make them count more and more as I shoot, and then play time with the family.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Next day, 25 arrows, play time with the family. Then I'll get to the point where I don't go closer than 60 yards, 20 arrows, go play with the family. So that's how I'm going to start, like, basically coming in from this week on, that's how I'm going to start my archery hunt training, fight training is what I've been calling it. Because this is a very coveted mule deer tag and I'm stoked. So, and I'm going with some kill. Like, I'm going to learn a lot.
Yep.
With the guys I'm going with. You know,
it's
I'm going
be a good time.
Devin and Clint Casper out there.
Oh, for sure. And that's like a whole different ball game than what we do. You know, I mean,
yeah.
We're going to start doing it here once we get our kids grown up just a little bit.
But yeah.
It's definitely like, I'm excited to see how it goes and like learn from your experience too, because that's what it's all about.
Well, I think I'm gonna learn just basically in one hunt. I'm gonna try and just be as much as a sponge as absolutely possible, because
that's what you gotta do too.
Yeah, I mean, there's like basic hunting instincts, you know, from just having experience and hunting, but then there's things where and I'm going to sit back and kind of like absorb kind of just the thought process through Devin and Clint, like, where are they looking and why are they looking over there? Or like what mindset and how are they predicting the wind? I mean, you can't ever predict the wind, but how are they thinking the wind is going to act in hill country like that, or mountain country, I guess is probably more accurate. Yep. Like,
and that's how you, most times you learn a lot is just picking up on those little things that you can just tell, like, okay, what's he doing over here? What's he doing over there? Where's he looking?
Right. Yeah. Where's he looking? Why is he looking over there? What's his game plan coming into this time of the day, midday, going in the afternoon? And I think that's probably why you guys get a kick out of doing all these hunts, like volunteering your time for people who have like these once in a lifetime tags or once every 30 year type tags, which is more basically once in a lifetime.
Yep. Right.
Because you guys are learning stuff that, if guys just waited around for their 25-year tag, you're going in like, fuck. So when you guys draw these tags, you guys kind of already been there lots of times. Is it fair to say you guys have done more hunts like that than probably anybody else in the state that's your age?
Absolutely.
I mean, our age, probably. There's some old-timers that go every year and, like,
Yeah.
I mean, they probably know the Black Hills even, like, five times better than us. But they're also, like, they're older. They have
double
more time.
Age.
They're out there. They've lived there. They've seen the evolution, the change, everything. But,
right.
But I'd say that we spend as much, if not way more time than 90% of them. And people go into it with a different mindset. You don't know what you're getting. Like, some of the people that apply for an elk tag are like, oh, it'd be cool to hunt elk.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen an elk in their life.
Yeah. Yeah. And other people are like, they go out there every year and they like to take pictures of them. They like to go hunting with their buddy. Like, they always try to go. And, like, it doesn't matter where they live. They might live in eastern South Dakota, but they actually know what they're doing because they've hunted there. They've hunted Montana. They've hunted all over.
They've been out there.
So you right. can kind of make what you want of it. But if you don't prepare at all and you want a good hunt, I mean, that's where we kind of come in and we just enjoy it. And we can make a video of their hunt, too, and just kind of show it off. And
it's great.
Be
yeah.
able to...
And they're probably stoked because their hunt was videoed.
Right. And more importantly, yeah. it's like they get to capture the memory and like they get back home. They're telling all their buddies because you can tell a story 100 times, but you watch it once, you remember it forever.
Yeah,
so it's
absolutely.
Like,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I'm sure. So like we did. We've told this story plenty of times, but if people haven't heard it, the first time we met Jeremy was in Colorado doing an over-the-counter elk hunt. Like, we had talked and became buddies just through chatting, like, through the podcast and stuff, which is weird. But it's weird if when you say it like that, but it didn't feel weird, you know? Like, when my dad and I got in camp, like, a day or two before in Colorado, and, like, I remember my dad, we didn't really even feel weird about it. I'm like, nah, I know exactly what he's like.
Meeting up with these random dudes in the hill.
Yeah, I mean,
mountains.
It sounds weird on the outside, but it didn't feel weird. But it never skipped
a beat. I feel like when you talk that much, you know, back and forth.
Yeah.
Yep. You pick up a vibe.
And it's funny because before that hunt,
you get a good vibe of
that. You guys kind of knew that we talked, but you guys didn't know because it's just like there's people in the podcast that like Eric talks to that I don't really know at all, but they just like hit up Eric and I don't really know him, but you talk to him all the time.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's just the randomness of it.
Yep.
And then, which is cool. I'm grateful for it.
That's what hunting does.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. So like when we met up, it was just like we were buddies. Like I feel like I've known you guys forever.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I feel like we kind of grew up together and all that.
And I wasn't even there on the elk hunt. And then the following year, we went on antelope hunt. And it's like, you know, it's always like the first, like you actually put a face to the name.
Yeah.
But like nothing was weird the whole time. It was just normal. Like you said.
What's up, dude?
Like, hey, it's like. Oh, yeah, I never actually met you before in person, but we've been talking forever, you know.
Right, and that's how I felt in that antelope hunt.
Yeah.
Like, we never met each other in person, but first day we showed up, it seemed like we knew each other for years.
Yeah,
and I told you guys that, too.
Talking day one.
Oh, yeah.
And it still
goes. And then, too, at the Nebraska show, I was telling, like, the rest of the guys, I'm like, oh, just wait. And it's like, without skipping a beat.
It's just
like,
so natural.
What's up, fellas? How you guys been? Haven't seen you in a while. Oh, I've never seen you.
Yeah, we walked in the bar and never seen you. We had tall boys right away. It's like, yeah, it is like, what it is.
There are people.
These guys, all right. But what I was getting to
Jeremy's
is like,
drinking milk.
We met on that experience.
At the bar.
And then I learned from you guys elk hunting in Colorado. And then we had an X factor of situation that came in with the fire and all
right.
that. But then, you know, learning to do antelope hunting through, like, I feel confident in antelope hunting now. Like, I feel like that I could go to Wyoming by myself on an antelope hunt and be like, okay, I have a general idea of how this works.
Yep.
Just through
and
absorbing.
Even though we had the fire, everyone can listen to the podcast. There was a fire that pretty much ruined our hunt.
Yeah.
But that first experience of going to the mountains made you realize what it's like, what you need to do to prepare, what you need to bring, what you need to. And that's a big mistake everybody makes, I think, is. They watch something on TV and there's these big giant bulls and they find out what unit that was and they're building points for these units that might take 10 years. And then on that 10th year when they get it, they're going elk hunting. They get out there. They have no idea what to expect.
Right.
No clue.
Right.
Or if you go to these over-the-counter units, whether you are successful or not, over-the-counter is 10 times harder than a hard-to-draw unit. But whether you see elk, get into elk, or kill an elk, you're learning things as you go. And, like, for you, that first step was learning what it's like to be there, whether you can handle the high elevation, what you need to have with you.
That's so,
it's a whole different world. Thing. Even for us. I mean, we're quite a bit higher than you guys. But
yeah, we're like 600 feet here.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
It's pretty rich.
There's things you need to learn before you get into. You save up 10 years for those points. You go out there, don't know what the hell you're doing.
Wake up, call real fast.
Right.
But
that's, well, and our most famous video probably came from Jeremy too. That we posted.
Fuck, which one? Oh,
the tree dick.
That was a picture.
The wooden wilderness dick.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. No, it was a video. I posted that on. I might have got deleted off TikTok. I posted it on. No, I posted it on our.
It's still a reel on Instagram. I think.
I know it was on TikTok at one time.
I heard it wasn't too far off.
That's a real deal.
Of your what you got going on?
That wasn't a tree.
Let me find it. Hold on. We have, so we're
hurt nose.
This is the last day I missed what you saying. It has 417,000 views on Instagram Reels. It's Jeremy bugling next to a giant wooden dick, like, right, in the backcountry of Colorado.
That's impressive that someone took the time.
Well, it's either that video or we did find out that Kurt cannot walk in water or over logs or anything.
Yeah, apparently.
We found that out too.
You know what it was?
Not built for water.
I got some weak ass ankles when you get out there. I didn't feel like I had weak ankles until we climbed Butthole Mountain 3-4 times.
That video you posted of the random him slipping every time.
Went all slow motion.
Oh, yeah.
That for the record, that was just before we found the wooden dick, and that was the last day of the hunt. My ankles were blown out, dude.
It was rough. I mean,
it was a tough country.
That hill that was right behind camp.
And my dad was with us the whole fucking time.
He was killing it,
dude. Yeah, he was 58. No, he's 59.
He's just like, those ain't my ankles. Mom's side.
I'm chasing some billy. Yeah, mom's side.
Get that from your mother.
I'm chasing billy goats up the damn mountain. You and Austin were freaking flying up, but. But what I was getting is, like, I absorbed knowledge from watching you guys out in that country.
Right.
And then in antelope country. And then now on this Wyoming hunt that I'm going to go on with these guys. And then I think, you know, I'm going to do an elk hunt next year in Wyoming. I already have it booked with Trey. And I'm going to learn so much more. That's a guided hunt. That I'm going to learn, I think, years and years and years of knowledge crammed into a week, week and a half of hunting. And then I think after that, I'm going to try, like, maybe we should go back to where we went for over-the-counter and then all go together and do a camp, like, yep. Try and do a two-week camp, which is a long, tough fucking time. But
a lot of it's mental.
A lot of it's mental,
there,
yeah.
There was a guy that was with us there that
gave
us his water and bailed out because he couldn't handle it.
Yeah, and it is, though, like, he was by himself, though, too. Yeah.
Hey, it's watch tough. Alone.
What's that? Yeah.
It's a mental game.
Hey, listen, dude, how much money do they get?
It's like $100,000 or something.
You just got to sustain. You don't got to hunt an elk down and kill it. I'd kill ground squirrels with rocks.
Yeah, I'd be just fine.
We should probably do a South Dakota mule deer camp one of these years.
All in.
Alone?
There's nothing better than camps.
Naked and afraid.
I'm down for...
Naked and afraid.
Should buy me this year.
A naked and afraid mule deer camp. Listen, you can't... I don't know what kind of hunts you guys are selling, but I'm...
We got a whole nother channel. Next podcast.
Buckstorm XXX.
All jokes aside, we should seriously do a South Dakota mule deer camp because we have like 25 years of knowledge or 20 plus years of knowledge.
But that's October for us as non-residents.
But that's fine. I mean,
we're in.
We can kill them.
They don't pick up till mid-late October.
Before rifle season, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The Orange Army comes out.
Doug, just go this year.
Hey, I got a random thought. I wanted to say this earlier and I forgot, but you guys were talking about the river and how you can see muleys on one side and then there's more whiteys and other stuff on the other, just kind of like a divider that's there. We noticed that on our way out to Wyoming there a couple years ago. We were driving through Nebraska and we get almost to Wyoming edge 40 miles out and there was no antelope whatsoever, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Yep.
It was like there's a line right there, and then there's antelope on the very western edge of Nebraska, and then we get into Wyoming, and holy smokes, they're everywhere.
They know their place. Yeah. They know where the line on
there's
the
like a line that divides like the farm country from the prairie.
Yeah.
And that's where the different, you know, all of a sudden, boom, there's antelope. Like you said, it's crazy.
It was nuts. I'm like, why won't they go any farther east?
Right.
They just know that's their place.
Well, it's like their speed is their like escape mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, don't get me wrong, they have other senses too, just like deer, scent, all of the things, sight. But antelope, they just know, like, hey, if I stay in the wide open and I don't like something, I can get away from it.
Because they're fast as fuck.
And they will run forever and ever and ever.
Well, I think you can.
Until they hit a fence.
This is good because the first stock Eric ever did on a big antelope. Like the very first antelope we went after last year was
the biggest antelope of the trip.
Yeah. And we get up there and like it should have worked. Like I was confident in our setup and he just never saw the decoy. And long story short, he like kind of runs over the hill and I'm like, I guess we can walk up there. But I already know, like just knowing what I know, that when we get up there, they're probably going to be like long gone. And I remember we got up there and we get up there and you're like, holy shit. And they were literally like about to cross the fence into the next section.
Like 8 miles away. Like,
I mean, they were at least a mile from us.
They're freaking fast.
They're insane.
Before we even popped over the hill, they're already that far away.
Antelope pulled like, I don't know what it is. I'm actually getting an antelope tattoo Friday.
Are you? Hell yeah.
I was going to get a ram tattoo. Like, not because of my truck. Don't go there with that. I had to tell it before you guys said it. I was going to get a traditional. I just think they're cool. Like, they look neat.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a traditional style antelope tattoo.
It's got to be one of the most frustrating things to hunt.
I don't know what it is that I love them so much. Like, I think, one, they're cool and they're different. But I just think they're fun as fuck to hunt.
Yep.
And that is just from, like, we had a riot.
Oh,
like,
blast,
you
man.
Can blow a stalk after, like, one after another.
And you will.
And you do. And it's fun still. I mean, and a good example is we went out on our own and we got in close on that one. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how, learning from you guys, we were able, within the same week, go out and successfully
stalk
make
one.
A stalk. It just comes down to the shot, you know, and that's a whole nother ball game.
And if they're long ways out, you just flock shoot them.
Take it from me.
Pole.
I forgot about that. Pole. I was just joking.
I thought that's what you were referring
to. I did too.
I flock shot and I won. That hunt will go down. It's even more special now, like because of my dad's reaction now.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because my dad's like, holy shit, nice shot. And I was like, Dad, that was the wrong one.
He was all pumped.
He's like, damn, Kurt's fucking good.
I could tell because I think, did me and you stay back?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were standing by the fence, and
his
Kirk comes walking over the hill, and I'm like, okay, he either missed or something bizarre happened, because I could just tell on his face when he came out walking up over that hill. He's like, you guys are not gonna believe what just fucking happened. I'm like, oh boy,
well,
here
so
we go.
My dad was gonna shoot, and what happened? We thought the antelope were gonna cut around like this, the bottom of like this hill. Basically, it was like pretty much a 90 degree hill. We thought they were gonna run the bottom of it. And he was going to get like a 40-ish yard shot. Well, they didn't. They hung up. And it was like, shoot now or don't shoot. So I drew back and let it go. And then it was a long enough shot. By the time I squeezed off and the arrow flew, everybody took off. And the one that was like 20 yards to the left.
Yeah, they're fast.
Ran and caught my arrow mid-flight, and I rolled it like I shot it with a goddamn rifle.
Interception!
Dude, it looked like I was like, if you would have put a guy off like split screen with a rifle and boom, hit one running, you would think he shot it with a rifle.
Oh, yeah. And it wasn't. People would call it unethical, but it's those things were standing. Yeah. They knew something was weird.
Yeah.
But I had a decoy up, so they're like,
looking at the decoy,
trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And people are going to call it unethical all they want, but
I don't care now.
Yeah, antelope are so goddamn fast. That's a perfect video to explain what can happen.
And it's also a good one to learn from too, though. Like just to like realize.
$1 billion arrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Aim right.
Like anything can happen. And when you just have to own it in hunting in general. I mean, you could be shooting at the buck of your dreams right here in your backyard in Illinois at 20 yards. And there's a doe that he's dogging 5 feet to the right, and you don't see the branch that's hanging there, and you catch the branch, your arrow ricochets into the doe.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it could happen.
Yep. And we owned it, and we ate good that night.
And you have to.
Oh, we did eat good.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Those tendies were like stringy, man.
That's what they call veal.
Veal. Well, I mean, how often do you get a big buck and like, and this is like besides the fact of just like crazy shit happening, but like you get nervous. Or you hit a twig that wasn't there and you hit the thing. I've never had this happen personally, but like it happens all the time. You hit the thing in the worst spot you could possibly hit it. And you're just like, your heart just sinks down and you feel like, that's how I felt at first. But
I could tell you were, and I'm the one who wants to crack jokes right away.
Oh, yeah.
Jeremy's just itching.
Yeah, so I'm not the asshole then.
I think it took about, we quartered it out, packed it out, and we got to the truck, and it was like, here, Kurt, have a kill beer, you And then it was just the shit storm of jokes.
It happens to everybody.
It was like an hour, and Jeremy's like, is it too soon?
to start cracking jokes?
No, it was like 10 minutes. I was getting jokes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Listen, though, I'll tell you, was I bummed at the shot and for like the first 10 minutes? Yes.
You were.
Once we got back to camp.
We could tell your face as soon as you came
Well, I think that's good because, I mean, if you weren't, like, that's kind of
It'd be weird, right?
Right.
Like, yeah,
right.
But that beats the shit out of coming home empty-handed.
Hell yeah.
No, you're right. It'd be weird if I was pumped about it, and it'd be weird if I wasn't upset about it.
Yep.
Yep.
And you were definitely upset. It was a little...
And I think that
when you're aiming at a certain one and you hit a different one. Yeah. Right. I remember seeing
the message like, you guys won't believe what fucking happened.
What bummed me out about it more than the situation, because, you know, I'm a hunter, right? Like, I'm grateful that I got an animal no matter how happened. And I'm grateful that I didn't make an animal suffer, because it was like,
it
died fast.
did a cartwheel.
It did a fucking cartwheel. But I get things do happen. What I was more concerned about is that I was going to tell that story and everyone was going to think that I was fucking lying about it.
Yep.
Right. That's why I was like, no one will believe this story is so crazy that no one will believe the footage was filmed how it was filmed, and no one will believe my story when I tell it. That's why I was mad. I'm like, this is so off the wall that people are going to automatically be like, you are full of shit.
And that's exactly why we started filming. That's the same exact thing we said to each other after I shot that deer at 3 yards. And it's like, not a single person is going to believe this happened.
Or your goat, the one you hit bizarre.
Yep. Another thing, hit it in the, it jumped the string, hit it in the back of the head, and died before it hit the ground.
Yeah.
And
that's almost crazier. Do you think?
To some extent,
We talked about this on the camp episode.
And I think that another thing that, like, a lot of people don't realize is, just in general, if something goes wrong, like, too many people just don't embrace it. And, like, they don't own it, or like you get on like Instagram or Facebook or even on our YouTube channel, like, we always have people commenting like, oh, gut shot. It's like,
sure.
Well, if you've never made a gut shot, then you're not a serious bow hunter,
right?
Because it happens to everybody, no matter what.
And I would rather gut shoot them than shoulder shoot them,
right?
Well, and that's when I missed that meal.
They're gonna die and they're not gonna suffer, where a deer's gonna limp around for a while on a shoulder shot.
And I missed that.
I missed that antelope on our trip, and I was kicking myself in the ass. Like, I should not have missed that shot. And then Austin came over to me, he's like, don't worry, I missed like seven the last 7 years, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But I think what was hard to swallow about your miss, Eric, is because it was the impossible stock.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, we got in on this thing, like, it was in the money, and that's why that sucked.
Right.
If we wouldn't have been in the money, you'd have been like, fuck, we'll get in on another one, you know? Like, we pulled off the impossible stock.
We did monopolying around there, just jumping bale to bale,
dude,
and everything.
We made it in on this thing. I could not believe we made it in.
No, like, I couldn't either.
Dude, don't feel bad though. I mean, I've shit down my leg several times on a perfect opportunity and couldn't capitalize. Same. I mean, it's just
that's why
it's just one of those things. Though, you just kick yourself in the ass. You're like, God damn, I should have made that shot. But then in the end, you're like, well,
no, I've been there 1,000 times.
It is what it is.
That's right.
That's what makes bow hunting so fun though, because if every time it was just a slam dunk, like, you just lay up to them every single time,
right?
Wouldn't even be fun.
It wouldn't be fun, but it what is fun is when you have trial and error, and then over time you learn a little more and you learn a little more. And then some hunts might seem like a layup, but in reality, they're not really a layup. You've just practiced layups.
You just know what you're doing.
Yep. Yeah. You've just practiced layups all year long, getting up to it, and you made your fucking layup.
Right.
Whereas before, you get nervous and there's a crowd. It's like having a crowd watch you make a layup for $20,000, and you might miss that layup because you're not used to the pressure of a fucking layup. And you do dumb shit.
Yep.
You know, I didn't tie my shoe, and you trip over before you can make your layup. Like, that's the type of thing that builds into a 170-inch buck at 20 yards. You forgot to look through your peep because you got so goddamn excited.
Just squeeze it
that's
off.
That's the whole point, though. I mean, there's so much excitement in shooting these big animals. They're so hard to get. I mean, you could walk up and shoot a domestic sheep all day long, but...
Yeah, please do.
I was making a poke back at that.
Just keep the Velcro gloves away from Jeremy.
Yeah. Okay, listen, hey, let's not get into that's bonus content.
That's
Patreon.
Or you think you see antelope, but it's actually a guy that has full taxidermy antelope out there.
Yeah, shout out to that guy. Who is that guy?
I don't know. I like him.
Was that funny
Either way,
shit?
He's cool.
We'll see him next time we go out there hunting.
Back to your point, too, though, Kurt. The that's one thing that I've always, like, I think I've loved the most about bow hunting in general is no matter what, you're going to have experiences that you learn something from. You're going to have times where you're just like, I cannot believe I didn't capitalize.
Yeah.
But redemption's by far the biggest reward in bow hunting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's the best.
I mean, it could be a 140-inch deer that's like an 8-year-old that's like shrunk up and whatever. Yep. It doesn't matter. It could be a 110-inch deer that you just wanted to kill.
Right.
But
made
like
you happy or whatever.
You blew a stock and you went back and you got redemption. And that's by far the biggest reward in my book.
100%. Well, I mean, even just 1,000%. Redemption is in like you missed whatever, you stuck it out and yeah, you got it done. And
exactly.
That's the thing. Like there's, I think too many people where you're like, I'm hanging it up, I'm done. That's a thing you hear a lot.
Oh yeah.
I hear
yeah.
it less now that more of the people I'm around are experienced hunters, but you see it online now.
That's like saying I'm not going to drink anymore.
Hey guys, want to take a quick second to talk about Thermoseat. We have a code for you if you've been wanting to get into your very own Thermoseat, whether it is like the D-Wedge or tree stand replacement seat. Code WCTS saves you some coin at thermoseat.com. It's a true, I always called it American Heritage hunting company.
They've been around forever.
I mean, like the 80s.
Right.
But you can get their shit anywhere.
Right.
We even have our own.
We have it on our own website.
Yep. It has the Working Class logo.
Looks good.
On the Thermoseat traditional series. WorkingClassBowhunter.com. You can get it there. Check out Thermoseat. Also, HHA, code WCB15 at HHA.com. Single point, single pin sights, drop away rests, stabilizer setups, all back to the lifetime warranty. They support our veterans, especially with HHA USA.
Mm-hmm.
All around kick-ass company. We've been partners with them for a real long time. Also, Victory Archery. I'm shooting the RIP TKOs. This is like a reoccurring question pretty frequently right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go around.
RIP TKOs for me?
VAP SSs.
VAP
going
SSs.
Going to moose hunt.
Getting ready.
Yep.
Heavy hitters.
And I'm shooting the extortions.
We weighed the VAP SSs versus my RIP TKOs with the 75 grain insert, outsert, whatever you call it.
Yep.
You were like maybe 60 grains, something like that, heavier.
60 grains heavier, yep.
Yeah. But so, you know, if you listen to the podcast we did with Victory, with Nate Watts, he breaks down all these arrows. So
mm-hmm.
I see in the Working Class Bow Hunters group that we have on Facebook, a lot of arrow questions are coming up about Victory and all that. Check out that episode we just did.
Yep.
It's not far down the feed. And I was at Bass Pro yesterday. Bass Pro does carry Victory arrows for people wondering.
Nice.
Or ask your local dealer. They don't do it direct to consumer. You have to get it through a dealer.
Yep.
So, which is good because that helps local shops. Or if you don't have a local shop, Bass Pro is the next best thing.
Yep.
So Victory Archery.
Which your private shops would carry the high end arrows. I'm sure Bass Pro doesn't carry the big dogs.
I would assume that they're more pleasing the masses rather than, you know, whatever.
That specialty stuff's hard to find. Austin and I ordered those arrows, those VAP SSs, and we had to search for them.
Where'd you guys end up ordering them from?
It was a bow shop out west somewhere that had them, had 2 dozen, and we bought the 2 dozen they had.
Well, I'm sure they're thankful for your business.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Also, new partner, which we're proud of. This kind of fits in a way outside the hunting industry, IsoTunes, isotunes.com. So if you're unfamiliar with IsoTunes, it's basically hearing protection, and you can listen to music or podcast on the fly.
That's
so
right.
If you're a working class, Eric right here can speak from this probably more than anybody right now.
Just, oh, yeah. I've used a set of them. I had a set of deer when I worked there, and they're like hearing protection. They are whatever you call it, ANSI certified, whatever, for hearing protection, but they're also headphones as well.
Yeah, Bluetooth. So you can get a set of these. Hey, listen, you didn't hear this from me, and I know my boss listens sometimes, but just shut your ears for a minute. Put your IsoTunes on. You can make it look like you're protecting your ears at work, and you can be listening to our podcast while you're working.
That's right.
The whole time.
Boom. The whole time. You can listen to our sweet, sweet voices whispering sweet nothings in your ear all day at work.
12 hours a day.
You like that? Check out the IsoTunes Link Aware. It looks like over-the-ear hearing protection. So say you're an electrician, Ross,
mm-hmm.
and you're up on a scissor lift. You're up high. Not everybody can see what you're doing. You're just jamming to some tunes or the podcast. Nobody needs to know. It's your little secret between you and IsoTunes and us.
Just out there dancing, look like a lunatic, but you're actually just rocking out.
Right. Listen, we got your back. IsoTunes, there it is. So that's pretty cool. We're pretty proud of that, and I'm going to use the shit out of them. Of course, not at work.
Mowing.
More mowing.
Yeah.
And
yard
know,
work.
Yeah, stuff like that. Definitely not.
Definitely not at work.
Definitely not. But if I were, if I wanted to, I could.
I will.
Wink.
I'll wear them at work for sure.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Wink. The podcast also, this episode is brought to you by Sumner Point Beef. So this is kind of a different ad for us and partner for us, but they are a local business to us. And what it is you've all heard of like the butcher box clubs and different mm-hmm. companies that do that ship you out meat. Well, this is the off season for us. So if you're a terrible hunter, hey, shout out to you, or you're just waiting on that huge buck. You keep telling everybody that, and that's why you didn't kill anything. And, or your wife is just kind of a prude. We're not judging. But basically like beef steaks are delicious. It's summertime. You're grilling or you're having a party and you don't want to like grill up all those good elk steaks or deer steaks you had. You can go to sumnerpointbeef.com. And what they do is they have different sampler boxes and different types of boxes that you can get and order your steaks and your ground beef and all that. It's a family owned company. They rib eyes, you name it. Ground beef box, beef patties pack, family dinner box, sampler box, the griller box. And you can use code WCB at sumnerpointbeef.com and save yourself some money. Let's just go through the sampler box. I mean, you got ground beef, filet mignon, ribeyes, and New York strips all on this. And it ships right to your door in a package. You order it straight to you. Local farmers that are doing it the right way. This isn't your inner city grass-fed, all organic, non-GMO massage beef. This is real American farmers giving you real American meat. So you can grill it up.
Beef right here.
Yeah, take it or don't. But just saying, if you do, you're supporting a good company. It's just awesome. They're local. They reached out to us. We said, hell yeah, let's do it.
Don't hurt to try it.
We like to help our area. And man, we might grill some ribeyes tonight.
I mean, who doesn't love a good ribeye?
Dude, I'm telling you, it's all good. I'm a fan. All right, back to the episode. It's like, hey, listen, we know you're not.
Give it a couple days.
You can't quit forever. But it's also a lot of guys that complain. I mean, you get on hard times, like maybe your ground sucks. Like that stuff is, you know, a factor outside of maybe what you got going on. Right. But I think a lot of guys that are inexperienced end up shooting themselves in their own foot, like over pressure, mm-hmm. checking their trail camera every couple of days. And then they just get frustrated with basically coming back on themselves with the situation. I don't know. Yep. But bow hunting's hard, man. If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it.
Not producing. Everybody wants to be a part of the crowd. And then when everybody starts, especially when November hits or October, November, whatever, starts hitting, everybody's posting pictures. You see all these hero shots popping up left and right. Like,
feeling the pressure.
Yep. This guy killed. I ain't killed.
That buck fever pressure hits you. Well, Ross, you're a perfect guy to talk to about this because you're a guy that'll sit and watch some giant whitetails walk by. Dude.
So I got on this. I started with you guys a few years back, and I was on a roll there for a while, killing some big ones. And then, 16 was the last one I killed. And it wasn't until this past year, fall of 20, before I was got able redemption. To. And then I had the best damn year of my life. I killed three deer. I killed one muley in South Dakota and two whitetails back at home. I mean, that's, but boy, it was tough years before that. I mean,
But you're
just part of it. You got to be okay with just not getting to put your picture up on Instagram or Facebook and look for all those likes and whatever else. Just do your thing. To me, well, that's what I was doing. Now, I was sitting there like, son of a bitch, I just want to kill something. I want to post something. And I had a chance. And
it's not because you want to post it. You get the itch because you want to kill something. The social media part is a bonus.
Social media is fun, but don't get sucked into it near as much as just enjoying your hunt.
I think that's the problem with the term adult onset hunter. That's a problem with a lot of that, too. They get sucked into the social media thing. And you got 2-year, 3-year hunters giving advice all of a sudden. It's like, whoa. This is where this is a problem.
Yep. You got to just swallow your pride and back off and just make the right decisions, whether you want to. I mean, I passed a lot of really nice deer, and it sucks to pass them, but I know as soon as I kill it and walk up on it, I'm going to be like, damn it.
Yep.
Yeah. Another year, another two, that would have been a stud.
I'm going to say this. I have some, you know, I get in moods where, like, you like a whitetail, kind of what you're saying, Travis. You like a whitetail, you like an animal that comes in, and you shoot them. You don't have to explain anything to anybody, you know. Sometimes you know, you get that 130-ish buck come in, he hits you just right, and you're like, ooh, you're going down. But I have a couple deer on my brain that might reroute my thinking for this season, and I'm going to calculate things a little differently internally in my brain. That's on me only right now, and I'll talk about it when I need to talk about it. But I'm going to go through some personal things this season.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
With my situation and just things that I want to do. But that don't mean, you know, I might not hold to that like I'm saying I am now. And I'm not, that's why I don't want to put out what I'm going to try to put out for. But, you know, I might get a 140 inch buck and think about some memories with my dad and be like, you know what? That buck is,
he's
going to get, he's gonna,
you'll know when you're in the moment.
I'll know when I'm in the moment. But,
absolutely. And I killed a 135 inch this year, an old dog that I've had pictures of forever. He stayed the same size for 3 years in a row.
Beautiful buck.
He's nothing to, nothing to brag about, but he's just an old buck that I mean, it
I disagree, man. That is something.
It
to brag
made
about.
My whole season. Sure. I was so damn happy. I just,
that's a stud buck too. Unique.
Yeah, November 13th. That was November 13th. That was just awesome.
What day did you kill your big one?
The 18th.
Oh damn! Yeah, you're right in there.
Yeah,
I can't wait to get that
5 days
that,
later.
That buck in here.
That was, hold on now.
That
13th and 18th, and it was 14th and 19th. Which one was it? They were 4 days apart.
You know that, you know your big boy and the Geyer buck are going to be centerpieced in here?
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
It's going
to
be sweet.
I got a sneak peek the other day. I probably haven't talked to you since, but.
I don't think so, no.
No, we went to, me and Austin went to Old Barn the other day.
Oh, you cheated.
Yeah.
You cheated.
Cheater. Got to see the replica all done up. He's just about done. They're getting ready to paint him.
How was it?
Beautiful, dude. I'm telling you.
It's beautiful.
It's insane.
Did you see it in person?
No, I showed you a picture.
We've seen pictures.
I showed these guys pictures.
I saw the one picture, but it was like.
You're right.
You were too busy signing truck paperwork and stuff, you know.
Oh, hey, sorry.
No, it's
I had to spend $80,000 to get the Buckstone boys out of the studio. Right.
$80,000
and the left nut and give out an Illinois deer hunt. The fuck?
Fuck. Damn.
I like Jesus the way Christ this is going.
Yeah. I got $500.
You might sign paperwork too early over there.
If you think you signed $80,000 paperwork, we need to redo it.
I used code WCB and saved $15,000.
And they're taking a testicle back with them.
Yeah. 500. They're going to clone me. It's gonna be tough.
My point was, I guess I just, if you kill, yeah, go back to what you were saying. If you kill that deer that you've been hunting and what makes you happy, like that's what it's all about. Yeah. Don't worry about the score. Jeez, everybody talks about score and
score don't mean shit.
I like to shoot for age. And I'm Don Vito. He's like 10 or 15.
What's the deal with Don Vito?
He's still around. My dad picked his shed up this year.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he's going downhill.
Yeah,
he might score 76 this year.
He's alive though. Still,
but he's still alive. Yeah,
as we know,
as a 50-year-old.
Austin said it's going to be like a fist hanging out of his head. This
that
year.
Deer's got to be 12 years old.
You got to shoot him
if you
but
kill that
deer
buck,
like that, man. He's so damn old, and I have so much history with him. It'd be fun to shoot him. Just to,
oh yeah.
Do you guys know about Don Vito?
Mm-mm.
You got a picture of Don Vito handy?
I might. You, yeah, I do.
So, Don, you had the sheds. Were they last year's sheds?
I don't want to make this about me. We should make this
no, no,
about
no. This things. Is good. This is conversation. No, no. The bases of Don Vito are, well, you always hear the beer can comparison.
It's no shit.
They're fucking beer can.
19 and a half.
Yeah. It's nuts. He's got to be 20 years old. You got to age him.
While you're looking that up, I was going to say, too, like, we've been talking about it for a while, but the biggest thing, I think too many people get wrapped up in, like, like they shoot like an 80 inch deer and they're like, oh, I'm going to get ridiculed and I'm going to do this. And I'm like, dude, if that was like the hunt of your dreams and you shot an 80 inch deer, own it. Like,
right.
If you had fun, that's all that matters. Like
that's Fred Eichler.
Right.
Fred Eichler is perfect example of that.
Yeah. Like even if like when
second,
we went
folks.
To Antelope
that's
hunting.
Pots.
Oh, wrong guy.
Nice try.
Jesus. That guy gets pumped too.
It's like about the memories, it's about the experience, it's about sharing camp, it's about like,
yeah.
doing you, whatever you is. And
exactly.
That's what it's all about.
No, that's
period.
That's some of the best advice you could give. And it's easy to say that stuff, but it is true. Like right. any experienced hunter who's down to earth and cares about the community of hunting will not give you shit. If you show a picture like that, you're not going to give shit. What's going on?
We're looking at Vito.
Oh,
dude, that reminds me of what'd you call him?
Grandpa.
Grandpa.
That's Grandpa. We have a buck like that.
He's like just like that.
Oh, really?
Short G2s. He's at least 9. We picked up his sheds last year, and he showed back up this year.
You stepped on his shed. Let's be honest.
Well, Be Cool found one of his sheds, and then you picked up the other one in
this year's.
Grass,
this
dude,
year's
that
Vito.
Deer.
Cool.
This is 2020 Don Vito.
That's 2020 ball. Yeah,
I would shoot that deer all day if he's that old.
So he went downhill. I'll show you this picture too. But he's just I got the left shed.
If you shoot Don Vito, you have to mount him.
I think.
How
so.
Old is he in that picture?
Oh, he's got to be. He's 8 or 9. I mean, I've had pictures of this deer forever.
That's just like a buck we got.
Had encounters with him too. I just can't ever get in front of him.
I bet you he's going to surprise you. He's over 10. I bet you.
That's what he's going to have sticking out. Probably but, like that.
He's a forearm
buck.
He's a grandpa buck.
Dude, it's, that one video you have of him walking through that open gate on foggy day.
I tried to play that a second ago, but
there's only one problem with killing a deer like that.
You got to send that footage to me so I can post it.
You know, like old people. Nothing against old people, but old people.
Where's this going?
You know,
yeah, let's talk
people,
about them.
Old people, like they
you
sleep.
Get rid of them or what?
They sleep all day and all night, so your window to kill them is going to be really small.
Hey,
was it Mark Drury that made that comparison? They're like old dogs. They lay around all day. They'll get up, get some water, get up, get some food, and then they lay back down. I mean, that's probably the reason why you have not seen Don Vito.
Yep.
He's old dogging you.
Yep. That's right.
That's. I mean, that's got to make you feel a little better about it, because you can sit there and be like, I'm trying to pattern him. He gets up when he wants to get some tail, and then he probably gets some water.
That's one of those bucks you shoot, and you post it, and everybody shit talks you for...
Well, you know, you know,
but they don't understand the story.
I think the guys who don't know any better would shit talk you, but when they understand the age,
that's
then,
what I'm saying. Yeah, they don't understand the history there.
There's two guys at the bar. You go to the bar, you show a picture of Don Vito. There's gonna be out of 10 guys, there's gonna be 4 of them that are like, dude, that's a monarch old brute.
Right. Yep.
Everybody else can be like, you should have seen the one I passed.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I'll tell you this. Going back to talking about them old dogs that are just jacking around. I should have just posed for that, but I didn't. Anyway,
taking pictures in here.
The one that I had replicated, my buddy happened to be hunting that deer really, really hard, and he had pictures from 18, 19, 20, and he gave me an SD card the other day of all the trail cam pictures he had of that deer. And there was only 2 trail cam pictures, and it was rapid fire on the camera. One night, in the middle of the night, it was like midnight or something like that, he had a doe with him. Every other picture never had a doe with him. And we're talking like, no, the big one I showed.
Oh, the big one.
Never had a doe.
Oh, I didn't see any of these pictures.
I haven't brought them to show you yet.
Oh.
I will.
Stop.
Oh,
anyways.
Yeah.
So
stop
seeing
like, shit here, Kurt.
He was 5.
Not in the in crowd.
He was 5 or 6 is what we're guessing. I
when you killed
him
or?
Yeah, when I killed him. He was 5 or 6, and I don't know. But the bottom line is, some of these old bucks, like you're talking about grandpa and laying around all day, it's crazy. He never had a doe with him. And there was daylight pictures. I mean, he was up and cruising.
Can I throw something at you?
Yeah.
There's the theory that, like, deer, when they get that big, and I don't know how they know they're that big, but it's, like, something they know. I grew up hunting with the guy that swears big deer like that just sometimes didn't participate in the rut like other deer did. Do you think there's any truth to that?
By looking at the pictures and talking with him and what he had seen and encounters and all that, same deal. But it goes back to... when I did that podcast and told you how that hunt went, I caught him at 2:05 in the middle of the day,
mm-hmm.
going from one doe bedding area to another. I know there's a doe bedding area down there.
Mm-hmm.
He might have just strolled on by and didn't really care, but he was at least thinking about it. He wasn't gay, I guess.
Right, so right.
He
was a very specific type.
He was just looking, sniffing around. He wasn't
I don't know.
Sure
maybe
if he
they
wanted
just,
to commit
maybe
to it.
They just know that they're the king shit of the woods, and they know they can go in and get some ass if they need to.
That's what I wonder about it too, because if you go back and listen to some of the episodes with Creepy, he was a buck even younger. I had a trail cam pictures of him, but never saw him.
Yep.
And I saw him Black Friday was the first time I saw him on the hoof in 2 years or something like that, and then I killed him with my bow during second shotgun season. And I, the only reason why I figured out where he was is because where I saw him come from.
Right.
So then I was like, all right, I need to get in there. I went and put a cell cam in there, backed out, got a picture. I'm like, oh, he's not leaving this. And I found a shed the year prior. He didn't leave this pocket. So I'm wondering if, like, he was 5.5 when I killed him. I had him aged. So I found his shed from when he was 4.5. So not a really old deer. 5.5 is mature.
Right.
But I feel like the older he got, the more condensed into his pocket of there's water there, there's bed there. Oh, and I quickly realized it was a doe bedding. Well, maybe a doe bedding area. I saw there were 6 does bedded, and then he came in, nudged them, bedded with them, got up to move on from the does, realized they weren't hot. Cause I shot them like December. Oh, I can't remember now. Fuck.
Early December.
12th.
Yeah.
And, you know, he checked some does and moved on, and that's how I shot him. But I don't think he left that little pocket.
He definitely wasn't a roamer. I mean,
wasn't a roamer.
He was hanging out tight.
Because I'd get pictures of him randomly at night and whatever.
Yep.
But not. I had more pictures of him than your big one.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, it's crazy how
they get their own personality. Yeah, you never know what
you get. Roamers, you get homebodies, you get all that stuff.
That's what makes me wonder about your 8.5-year-old Eric that you shot. Like how far did that buck travel?
And that's the thing. The year I shot that deer, that was the first year I got that property. So
you don't know the details.
And I got it while we were harvesting corn, so it was already mid October.
Yep.
When I picked up that property, so I didn't have time to run trail cameras, nothing. I just went out, set a stand.
Well, he was old enough, though. You know, you were in his pocket. I mean, you were
right.
Well, yeah, I knew there had to be something that came strolling through there for sure.
Yeah.
Do you guys get like Hills bucks or any of like the Plains bucks, like muleys or whitetails? You ever hear of any like old monarchs like that, or is it just kind of
big time? Like, this hits home to me really, because I think that the biggest thing, like, everybody tries to gather as much knowledge as you can, but if you're hunting a specific animal or maybe two specific animals, like everything that you've learned could be out the window,
right?
Because there's nothing making those two deer act the same.
You're hunting personality.
You go off what you know. One of them might be nocturnal. One of them might not. Like we've hunted when I was in Kansas the one year, this giant, like 180-inch typical 8x8 with like the shortest tines you've ever seen and 30-inch main beams, but just the coolest deer. That deer was like a bully buck, and he was for 2 years, and every, like, no matter what, he was active constant in November.
Yeah
And that's a deer that shouldn't have ever made it that long, probably, because it's like a hunter's dream,
right,
but he'd just always slip us, and there wasn't a ton of hunting pressure in that area, and there's a neighboring property where nobody hunts.
Yeah.
And he just survived. And so it's like, no matter what you've learned or what you think you know, like sometimes you need to throw some of it out the window based on how that deer is acting and what you really do know.
True.
For sure. Yeah. True. That's a good point. I think that brings up a good point, is in like experience in bow hunting. Like nothing is like the final word. Even like the juries will say that, like,
right.
You know, it's not the final word, what we're saying, like, cause it doesn't apply. Like, I think as an experienced bow hunter, different species you hunt, the different areas you hunt, the more mature animals you hunt, the more, because it's not common that an younger or greener hunters think, like, I'm on a buck, Fabio, right. I'm on fucking Fabio. Like, all right, D-Rock, you know, you think you got this buck pattern. You don't know what the fuck you're doing.
It's just a button,
you know, you're making this up in your head, but it's like, as you get more experience and you find more mature animals, like, you have to learn to be a little more malleable in your game plans and how you approach things. And You care less about the herd, and you're more focused on the personality of Don Vito or whoever.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? We talked earlier about how there's homebodies and trail cam pictures like we've gotten where they just disappear after velvet and then are gone.
Yeah.
We talked about that earlier, but I've had some, too, that are just full-blown homebodies. Like, they stay there, and I get them all through velvet. I get them all through the rut, and then I get them all late season. Like, they stay right there.
Yeah.
But you get your travelers. Every deer, I guess if I was juries and I had to say one thing, it's just you got to hunt their personalities, I guess.
Yeah,
each deer is different.
It's just like humans. It's no different. Like, you got friends that are homebodies that never want to go to the bar.
You
got friends that don't drink, and they just kind of hang low.
Boring.
You got friends that are partiers and they're out on the town all the time. I mean, it's no different, really.
And they're going from every town to town. Like, they're all over the place.
Yeah, you got travelers. You got...
That's me.
Everybody.
That's a dope.
You got mustaches. You got...
Well, and that's a crazy thing. Like,
you got mustaches.
And that's all you got. I don't know.
That's it.
Just making scrapes everywhere.
Just all over Iowa.
Sometimes even Illinois. Who knows?
Leave your bark.
Doug's like the 3.5-year-old that's just like, you see him every time you hunt. Like, there
God
he is
damn.
Again.
And he has like,
you rattle,
blonde.
He comes running every time.
Yeah. Every time.
Yeah, you rattle, here he comes.
You could
like
have killed him 1,000 times.
Oh, yeah. You're the buck that people just laugh at when they see. You're just like, oh, geez. I named a buck Jonathan one year that I hunted on the deep timber piece. And I just, every time I hunted, I saw him. I just called him Jonathan. He was I don't know why. It just fit him.
Next year, I'll call him Doug.
Yeah, Doug.
We always call those deer Timmy.
Different name.
Timmy's, yeah.
We call them Timmy's.
Timmy's are like the ones that, like, no matter what, they're always coming in every year.
Uh-huh. The Timmy.
the Y-buck, notorious Y-buck.
Yep.
At what point do you name a like a buck Karen?
You get a buck that's not quite what you want to shoot, but he does everything you want him to do every time.
The Karen might have been that one at your parents' property that one year that he had every tine broken off. So he just had main beams.
Like Whiskey Dick.
Oh, yeah. Just every tine broken off. And I could grunt at him, rattle at him, everything you could do, and he'd come in.
You know what Karen is of deer? The doe that blows at you and blows at you 47.
Oh, yeah.
That is Karen. That
we
is
call
Karen.
Those Karens.
That's a Karen.
That's a Karen.
And Karens get shot. Yeah.
But he's saying, where do you call a buck a Karen?
Well, I was trying to interpret Karen into the talk because, you know, there's always Karens out there. No offense to anyone that's actually named Karen.
That's
no,
you're not kinda, that, kinda, you're not that guy, kinda. Pal. Trust
I knew
me.
A really, really sweet Karen one time.
That sucks for anyone named Karen, you know? It's tough out here.
Bad timing.
It's a rough life.
It's just bad timing.
It's bad timing for your generation. You should have better.
This is a good time for Doug's famous.
Great time. Ducks are up.
It is.
What it is.
What it is.
Time will move on. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
There'll be a new Karen in the next generation. Mm-hmm. It's got to wait about 10 years or so for that to fade.
Doug always has a new Karen on the line.
New Karen. What's next for Buckstorm? What's like the 5-year... I mean, don't give away too much unless you want to. Like, what do you guys got in mind? I mean, a lot, obviously, with Buckstorm Hunts.
Yeah, I actually sat down and, like, kind of drew out a 5-year plan, Jeremy and I did, and it's kind of basically try to expand our, like, our
outfitting. Do you know about this, Jeremy?
Yeah.
I see you make a joke.
Was this on the trip down here?
No, we've talked about this. You'll know.
I was there. I just wasn't focused.
Okay.
Cool. What is it? Don't die?
Okay, this is my... I guess this is my 5-year plan.
I don't remember the 5-year plan. Let's hear it.
Well, I'm going to go to college for 5 years.
Tell me more.
Give me doctors. A recap.
Does this include me or...
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Go on.
No, basically, right now we're just trying to keep doing what we're doing, keep putting out content, and just enjoying it more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Justifying it through... a little bit of guiding, so on and so forth. Hopefully scaling the guiding part of it to a point where we can spend a little more time doing it,
mm-hmm.
And see where it goes from there. But the 5-year plan would be basically to take it from where it is now and multiply it by 5, essentially.
Yeah.
And push a little more towards guiding. And on that note, like, there's not a lot of outfitters out there that are like filming your hunt and giving you a video.
That's a cool add-in, man.
It is.
And it's like, on top of just going out and enjoying it, which is number one. If somebody's like, I don't want a video, we won't video. That's
right.
Fine.
Yeah.
But we just enjoy videoing and capturing those things. And like, to somebody who doesn't like enjoy that, they just don't understand, I guess.
Yeah.
But to us, it's like being able to rewatch a hunt is being able to relive the hunt.
Show your family and friends.
Yeah. And it's not like a bragging competition. It's just, it's a video always tells a story better than... we talked about it earlier, like,
yeah,
better memory.
Yeah, it's better than words. And you know, like, there's always that one friend of yours that never stops telling stories and you like can't even listen anymore because it's like it's so detailed. It's like
it takes too long.
By the 3 blades of grass to the right, and then I waited and passed 17 trees, and on the 18th tree I stuck him at 14.6 yards, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it never, you don't even listen to that story, but when you just watch on a video and like you put it together, right, it just tells a story. And we've always been passionate about that, and it's not everybody's jam, but it's ours. So that's kind of our 5-year plan. Just see where it takes us. We're going to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
And I'll let Jeremy take it from there, but that's just kind of.
Sounds like a good 5-year plan to me.
That's all you got. The first time he's heard about
it. The point that I like to put out that he made is, we could go from where we're at now and completely end up with zero people watching us, zero people following us, and we're still going to do it. At the end of the day, we're doing it for ourselves. So you like it or you don't,
mm-hmm.
you
that's
know,
important.
It, and someone said, have your kids and family watch it. And that's really what it is. When my kids grow up, they can go watch me shoot a deer at 3 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They can go watch me shoot my once in a damn lifetime elk hunt, things like that. And we're just, we put it on YouTube for everyone else to watch, and
mm-hmm. yeah.
if you like it, you like it watching.
And I want to be able to like capture memories with my kids, and I've already started doing it. You know, like you take them out. Like I took my boys out this year, and
dude, one of my favorite videos, you taking them out to the ground blind, watch them just play with and toys like, in the ground blind.
I knew for a fact I wasn't seeing a deer that night. But that was
not what it's about.
That's beside the point. What it was right.
all about. Yeah. And like the second favorite hunt of this year, and I shot my biggest mule deer ever this year. And that's, don't get me wrong, that's like embedded there. And right. I'll never forget that. And it's going to be captured and it's captured, whatever. But I went out and I had a Black Hills deer tag and I took my boys out and it was cold and like we weren't going to sit and like they're too young.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't even three yet, but they're like old enough to like sit and like look around and we just drove around basically. Well, here's this rut crazed buck. We're back on a logging trail. I stopped my truck and he's just chilling on the side hill. I get out, which I would normally never do this, but my kids are with and they're staring at the buck. Daddy, there's a buck, you know?
Right, right.
And I got out and like snuck over to this tree and he just like read the script and he was like 115-inch, 3-year-old probably, like cool deer, but I would have never shot him. But I'm like, this is how you embed it in your kids' future, right, you know? Right, and
absolutely.
I shot him and they were so pumped. Like we went and recovered it. And I literally, they watched from the truck and we were on like this little logging road in the middle of the Black Hills.
Yep.
And that was probably my favorite hunt of the entire year, even though like it wasn't a road hunt necessarily. It was more of like, we're just driving all looking for deer and it just happened to end up that way.
Dude, good on you, man. That's fucking cool.
Yeah,
that
is cool. It's awesome.
It was literally probably to this day over my wife, like, shooting a deer at 2 yards. I've shot multiple mule deer with my bow. My basement's loaded with pretty solid deer for South Dakota, you know? And
yeah.
Like,
but that buck's going to stand out for you forever.
I'm putting them on a plaque. I'm putting them in their bedroom.
That's awesome.
It's Ridge and Rest buck, you know? It's how it is.
You know, when you like lay that out, I think if I had my daughter in the stand for the first time and like a 100-inch buck walked by, man, I might think about, like, that's a good point. Yeah. Like, that's a good way to like instill the tradition in them and like the lifestyle.
And you'll never forget it either. Like I thought at first, I'm like, I'm just doing it and I'm like going to forget it because it's just not that big a deer.
Right.
But like I got him, I went and checked for blood and I'm like, he's toast, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I couldn't really tell in the thick stuff how well I hit him, but I'm like, it was like an 80-yard rifle shot, you know, he's toast.
Yeah.
So I got them out of the truck and we followed the blood trail, recovered the deer. It took like 20 minutes to do a 2-minute deal, but it was the greatest thing ever.
Oh yeah. Totally worth it.
Back the truck up. They were just pumped. It was their buck. You know, I mean,
yeah,
they don't even know what's happening. They're two and a half years old, but that was by far.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
By far, my favorite thing. So
anybody?
What's that?
Who's using the pepper?
Not me, man. It's weird. It's weird once you have kids.
Oh, it's totally different.
Like you get weird about like when you hear kids' stories or like fan, like you like it hits you different.
Right.
For sure. That's cool. I think that's awesome, man.
Yeah. And I videoed as much of it as I could, but I was like, I was literally like capturing the moment and I still put a little video together of it and it's as good as it's going to be, but there's certain ones you don't even need to video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To relive them.
That's great.
So
I think it's good. And I kind of, like I don't have anything on video like that. Some stuff, like found some sheds with my daughter this year and she legit found her own shed. Like walking was like, Dad, look it. And I'm like, oh my God. The one that was buried in the dirt that was like ran over by a tractor. She like, picked
she's
that one
closer
up.
To
like,
the ground.
I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, holy, that's your first shed. It's a pretty damn good one too, you know? So now that's cool. It's cool getting them out and, you know, just re-experiencing stuff with them. Like just little stuff is more fun.
For sure.
Like stuff that you'd never think was fun of on your own as an adult. It'd just be weird if you're out there like doing some of the shit you do with your kids. You know what I mean? But like when you're with kids, it's like you're re-experiencing things that you take for granted because it's a normal part of your life and they're seeing it for the first time. So.
Yep. Oh, for sure. And that's what my dad did with me. And like, that's what got me going. Like I remember being my dad always tells the story like 877 times anytime we drive by the spot, even though I know.
Yeah. Shout out to your dad, by the way. He's so awesome online, man. Chatting with him and just like he comments on our stuff. And
Papa
just,
Smack Strap.
Yeah.
Papa Smack Strap.
Yeah, that's what we call him. And like there was a time when I was a kid, he took me out. He used to just drive me through the hills. We'd go look for deer and he pulled over and there's a bunch of deer feeding out in this field. And I'm like, Daddy, look, there's a bunch of cows, like beef cows. You know, I'm 3, 4, 5. I don't know how
old bovine.
Well, it was a bunch of elk coming out into this field. And like this bull walked out and I don't remember it really. Like I vaguely remember like where it was and stuff. But But just little things like that, you instill it in your kids' brains.
You become a softy. Oh, yeah. Eric will find out soon enough.
A what?
A softy. Oh, you're not as tough as you think you are.
You told me that too, and I was having, because remember when we went to Colorado? I told you guys.
That's what I found out.
Yeah, like I had just found out though that we were having, like, my dad's birthday was on the 3rd, and I gave him like a hoodie. I gave him a Elite hoodie for his birthday with a working class bow hunter onesie stuffed in it. So when he opened it up, the onesie fell out of it. And so, like, we went on that hunt like less than a week later.
Yep.
And I told you guys, I'm like, oh yeah, my old lady's pregnant. I don't know what we're having, obviously.
What the hell happens? Teach me.
Yeah, how's this working? You're like, if you have a girl, you're going to be a softie, and
it changes you.
Changes you.
Travis doesn't know that just yet, but you know, well, it'll happen.
I was talking to my wife last night. I'm like, we were, you know, expecting our second bit any day, really. Like, I'm giving it a 2-week grace period on each end of the due date, and I'm like, I want another kid, right? But I'm scared. I don't want to ruin my daughter's, like, angel vibe that she has, right, how yep. sweet she is with another kid. Like, if it's a boy and he's just a dickhead.
If he's yours, he will be.
I don't want him to ruin, because we don't know what we're having. I don't want to ruin my angel.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You know, so I was kind of, like, getting sad, but I'm like, she's going to love having a sibling and being a big sister. It's going to be so fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all going to be, like, normal, you know, but.
But that's the thing I'm looking forward to is having a kid on the way is, like, my old man took me pheasant hunting, duck hunting, yeah. fishing, deer hunting, like.
And whether you have a boy or a girl, you're going
to
do it anyway.
Oh, I'm going to introduce him to all that shit that my old man did. I mean, I remember being 4 or 5 years old and walking a fence line with my old man.
Yep.
Pheasant hunting. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing or why we were out there.
But you remember it.
We were out there. I had a orange jacket on that was 10 times too big for me. Yeah. But I was just walking a fence line with him, you know, and it was a freaking blast.
Yeah, you're just out there doing it.
Yeah,
picking
absolutely.
Leaves off corn stalks and having a
whacking weeds with a stick, you know.
Yeah, we got to go see alpacas this weekend. Went to a local alpaca farm in Des Moines.
That's cool.
Dude, so much fun. And I heard of some of the guys from Leupold. I think they used llamas as like pack mules pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're alpacas or llamas. I think llamas because they're bigger, right?
Yep.
But these llamas alpacas were badass. Like, if I had room, I might get a couple alpacas.
You got room. I saw it today.
I got room, but I don't want to build a shed and all that.
You got
shit.
One.
You know what's nice about those is they shit in one pile.
They only
scattered.
Shit in one spot.
Yeah, just one spot.
They're, like, really clean and, like, super friendly.
I wish my kids would do that.
I know.
Yeah, like the toilet.
Shit in one spot.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
If they're not friendly, don't they just spit at you?
No, those are llamas.
Llamas, dude.
These alpacas
llamas
are really
fucking assholes.
I've caught one of those before.
You've caught one?
Yeah.
You've caught a llama.
No, I got spit at.
What kind of animal spits on people? What a bitch.
Yeah. The moral, llamas and camels.
Smack them.
The moral of the story is if you're going to get like a yard animal and you live on an acreage, you get an alpaca instead of a sheep or a goat.
Dude, fuck sheep, fuck goats. They're killing wild sheep. That's
well, you
a
know
problem,
why,
dude.
You know,
I feel passionate about that. I need to get in some wild sheep foundation shit.
You know why people have llamas, right?
Because they keep away wolves and coyotes and shit.
Yep.
Yeah,
like, if you see a bunch of sheep or goats around, they'll have a llama or something in there because they'll fight off coyotes and shit.
Yeah, won't they, like, grab them by the scruff and, like, shake them to death and shit?
I don't know. They're just fucking...
Well, there's like, sheep dogs, too. Like, out on the prairie, like, sheep are a huge part of the economy, you know? I mean, it is what it is.
But fuck sheep, though.
But they're
wild sheep, right?
Right. But they're not in vicinity of wild sheep whatsoever. So,
okay. Because
like,
they're in the plains.
Those sheep are okay.
Sorry,
sheep farmers.
500 to 1,000 sheep. And there's these huge white, like husky looking dogs. And I'm no expert, but I don't know what they are.
They're a big dog.
Yeah,
they're
huge.
Mean, too.
Because they like blend in with the sheep.
You, like,
and then
drive down a gravel road not far from where we hunted and like. If we would have went a different direction, we would have seen them.
Yeah.
And you like stop your truck and they come up and they're like salivating. And I don't even know, maybe you could get out and pet them like, cause they're used to humans still.
Right.
But they're like scary.
They don't look very friendly.
Like
they
don't look anything like husky.
They're like,
record.
No, they do.
No, they don't.
No,
they look
like,
white.
They're like a big
like
white.
Fucking Cujo.
Google what? It.
They're like, no. Okay. They're more like a big white, like fat wolf. But
that's not a husky.
There's multiple different kinds of sheepdogs, so it is what it is.
that's what people say when they're wrong.
It is what it is.
It's
right,
actually a fucking wiener dog.
Jeremy's thinking of a different
you
dog.
You have all these big jobs.
So he's thinking of a different dog.
Can we use that as the cover photo for this?
Just a dog?
I'll find you a picture.
Just one big sheepdog. A non-husky sheepdog.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it gets some traffic for sure. Like, what the hell are they talking about?
There's more than one kind of dog, and I'm going to show you. And you're gonna be like, oh, eat your words, Jimmy.
You ignorant piece of shit.
I already know I'm right.
That's all right. You're more intelligent than me.
That is a big piece of information, though. I didn't realize that domestic sheep.
The big fight about it is in the mountains.
Infected the other ones.
You've got the ranchers that are leasing the federal land for their herds of sheep.
Yep.
But then you got the other side, the hunters that want it, and the other people that want to keep the wild sheep around. There's a big fight going on whether they should allow domestic sheep to be grazing on the federal lands close to the bighorns. And that's where the big political bullshit debate is.
Yep.
So you got two sides. You got guys that want the bighorns, and you got guys that want to be able to
the natural resources ought to step in and figure that out.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a complicated deal.
I'm really pumped about going on this moose hunt, but since I was like 13 years old, a bighorn sheep's been my number one forever.
Has it really?
Yeah. Like, moose is number two, bighorn sheep's number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Sheep is one of those things. They're cool animals. I would love to do it, but I think it's only in like my top realm of like, it's not my number one or my number two. But I think it's only in my top realm because I know how coveted the tag can be.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not actively putting in for points to draw anywhere.
It's hard to want to kill something you know you probably won't.
Right.
Right.
You know, red stag, moose, elk are currently in the top three.
Oh, so yeah.
Three
yeah.
right now. It changes.
I think we're on the same page
here. He's got red stag on his top.
Because
I'm on bighorn.
It's not that expensive of a hunt.
I'm with you.
Africa, like, I don't have a ton of passion to go to Africa, and nothing against Africa, but I like antlers. Like, that's where my drive is. I like antlers, not horns.
Not horns.
I'm the same way. I have no passion to go to Africa. Right.
Now, that being said,
I do want to go to Africa.
Right.
But I want to kill a red stag, an elk, and a moose first.
Yeah. Yep. Same. Like, I want to go there at some point in my life, because you can't knock until you try it, right?
The next 5 years, if everything opens up as normal, I'm going to New Zealand.
Heck yeah.
I'm going to figure it out. Because here's how I got this hustled. So my wife worked in New Zealand for a while traveling. My wife has got a travel bug. So she did her thing. She worked over there on the Kiwi Farms. She had a really bad car wreck in New Zealand and almost died, actually. But
oh, shit.
That's just a fun little tidbit.
Fun.
We're trying to skip over
not
that.
Very fun.
It's a fun story now that everything's fine.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Secondhand fun.
I totally.
Secondhand fun. But just a crazy experience she had. So I want to do a 2-week trip to New Zealand in the next like 5-ish years, give or take whatever it's going to take to make it happen. But do a 2-week trip. The first week, family trip. We go to New Zealand. We vacation. We travel. We see some stuff. Second week, I go on my hunt and then we fly home.
Yep. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, it's really like you think it'd be 40 grand. It's not.
No, if you do it right, like the 40 grand hunts are like the ones where you're like, I want to shoot a 500-inch stag. You know?
And then I want to kill a fucking ibex while I'm out there. And a
helicopter's coming to pick it up.
Right. You know, you can kill a good red stag that looks like a big fucking red stag for like six grand.
You just got to
nice.
Do your homework. And
if you budget 10 grand, you're happy as hell.
Yep. Absolutely.
For a trip of a lifetime that nobody can ever take from you.
Yep, exactly. And you can even go over and hunt the mountains of New Zealand. I've been doing a little research, like public land type hunt, like where you're not going to shoot a 400-inch stag because a lot of the places you go are high fence.
Right, right.
But you can go and you can hunt like wild stag in the mountains, and it'd be kind of like a over-the-counter hunt in Colorado. It'd be tough, but talk about rewarding, like going to another country and trying something like crazy. But
if you want to go, I think it depends on what caliber you want. And some of these are free range.
Yeah.
It just depends on where you're at in the island.
Yep.
Like I think between six and eight grand. I don't remember exactly. I was just looking to see what ballpark I need to save for. So if I'm like, all right, in 5-6 years, I want to go, I'm going to just save $1,500 a year and put it in my stag hunt savings account. And then see where it's at. Then what the fuck are you guys doing over here?
We're holding hands.
Okay. Just making sure I was seeing what I was seeing. What the fuck?
You guys want a glass of milk or what?
If you break that down, please. Like on a 6-year game plan for a hunt of a lifetime, it's really not.
It's achievable.
It's achievable.
Yep.
You know, it's achievable for a guy like you want to work X amount of overtime a week, save that, throw it in the bank account, and then you might have something that it's not a material item.
Yep.
You know, material items go away and people can take them from you or whatever. Like experience, you can't take it away.
You can't replace it either.
And you film it.
Yeah, there you go. You add that in. Hire Buckstorm to go with you.
Yeah. There you go.
I can't afford that.
Buckstorm Hunts, New Zealand. Buckstorm Hunts.
You could buy a truck.
Africa.
You can afford us to go hunting with.
Did you budget that into the truck?
I'm kind of digging this.
Do you like this whole exotic shit? I should have budgeted that in my truck. Yeah. Buy a Ram, get a New Zealand Red Stag hunt.
Yeah.
Buckstorm.
Yeah.
That being said, too, like on the bighorn sheep scale, like you were
just
saying.
Skips over it.
I never really thought, I've always seen them around. Because I grew up in the hills and we have a decent population and stuff. And
the world record just came from there, right? From South Dakota?
Yep. Yeah, from South Dakota. The world record out in the Badlands or on the edge of the Badlands National Park. But like after that hunt we went on last year, I have a whole new perception because we actually scouted bighorn sheep. We figured them out. Kind of like you guys going all in on like an elk hunt if you've never been elk hunting. Even if, like, on the bighorn sheep side, we'd been around them forever, but we never really hunted them. We probably know a little more than, like, some people that have never even seen one just because we've been around them. But we really, like going on that hunt was a whole different, like, game changer. It was mentally challenging because, like, I found we went out scouting the night before. We split up into groups, you know, trying to find the biggest ram, essentially. Well, I showed up late and I went to the place that we didn't think that there was any sheep anymore. That's where we saw them all summer, but they all kind of shove south once season gets there.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally glass up this sheep, just pure luck, really. But we had scouted there all summer, so I was basically treating it like summer scouting. I'm just going to see if there's any late coming rams that haven't made their way south yet. Because we kind of knew how they talking to
travel.
Like the biologists and everything, like how they move and like what normally happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, here's this giant ram, probably the biggest ram out there, and to my knowledge the biggest ram ever killed in that unit.
No shit.
Hindsight. And like we spot him, and so we're like, we got a chip shot in the morning, you know. So we get in there, we're like not that worried about other hunters being there because
he really told us it was going to be a chip shot too.
Yeah. And so he's like the only ram. And he was
easy.
All
they can play
alone.
Those snakes at camp.
Hell yeah. And I'm like still nervous because I'm like, what's going to happen? You know, we get in there and he's not there. And we glass and we glass and we glass and we glass like 6.5 hours.
But
glass.
He was there.
The whole canyon. But we couldn't see over the one ledge. So like we go back, we eat. We're like, regroup. We're like, let's sit that canyon out again. Like, he couldn't have just bailed, like, 3 miles. He had no reason to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He knew he's an old, lazy
being by
ram.
Himself.
The rut's not here yet. There's no reason to, like, go way down and, like, start chasing. So we're like, we'll just go glass from the road. You could, like, glass this big mountainside. And it's pretty big country. It's just, like, open, old burn country. So it's really hard to pick apart because there's logs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they go down the road. We go up top. We're going to sit in the canyon. And like 10 minutes in, glassing the other side of that canyon, like over the top of it, there he is. So we go back, make
he's there the whole
plan.
Time.
Yeah, he was there, but you couldn't see him from the canyon because he was over top of it, like on the backside. We make a move and get in there. And it was like the coolest hunt I've ever been on. And ever since then, I have a whole new like level of appreciation for bighorn sheep hunts.
The video, by the way, is kick ass.
You don't realize how exhausting staring through binoculars for hours upon hours.
Oh, yeah.
Your eyes hurt.
Mentally exhausting is honestly,
it's
in
like
my
good
opinion.
Glass is important, man. You don't realize it until you go out west.
Exactly.
And we didn't hardly walk in.
Shout out Loophole.
So. Yeah, buddy.
Nice.
But we.
You guys got to get in that Loophole glass game, boys.
Amen.
Michael, talk to these guys.
What's up, Mike?
Mikey!
Be like Mike.
You guys just came to the shoot.
My
he was
boy.
There. He came out.
I know.
Shot bows with us.
Next year, we'll be there.
We gave out
That's
some,
what he said the last
when
few
he
years.
Trades his truck.
We gave out some Loophole eyewear. We gave out some Loophole rangefinders.
Next year, he buys a new truck and times it, right?
We'll I was going to put a Buckstorm sticker in the back window, but I think I'm just going to put a little Loophole sticker right there on the back
corner.
There you
corner. Go.
I would.
That video is... of the shoot was sweet though, and like it just made me like want to be there even more this year, but or next year. But this year,
kids, man, I
hear you. We gotta give you guys shit.
Weddings,
it's a long way too.
We're still all at that age where like you got all these like friends and family members getting married, and you're like,
can I say something?
Gotta
once?
Be there, you know?
Because we got, I get, I don't know how many messages every year of the shoot. It's like, sorry, got a wedding, man. Fuck that wedding. You already know about this shoot. It's June 11th. You got a year to plan, dude. Your friends are going to get married again. it's like,
Jesus.
Think it out, dude. Go shoot your bow. It makes you happy. Weddings, you're going to tell me you're thrilled the entire time at that wedding? Nah, you're not. You hate your buddy's wife. Like, she sucks.
I feel like you're directing this at me. I got one coming up in like 3 weeks.
I know.
No, but you planned yours for July, so you're in the clear.
Oh, dude, yeah. You got to find it. You got to find us.
If you have like
date.
A September, you're October, or November wedding.
By the way, I'm kidding for anybody that had a wedding to go to. But, you know,
I'm out on that.
We've all been there.
Hey.
A September, October, November
no,
wedding.
No, not going to be there.
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, not going to be your friend. Yeah.
No.
I'll support you later.
If you would have told me, because Jeremy's getting married here in like a couple weeks. And I'm
still
the best
time
man.
To back out.
Hey, you know when I got married? June 24th. Pretty decent time.
Yeah.
Well done.
Good time. Yeah. And Jeremy's like, what is it? June?
July. 17th.
Okay.
3:00. That's all I got to know. Yep. I haven't done anything else. That's all I need to know.
My man.
I'm making sure it's there so I'm not late.
3:00.
Hey, Doug, remember that we got by plane tickets, you know?
Are you guys going?
Don't tell anyone.
Come on over. Bring a gift.
When did you get married, Doug? What month? When did you get married, Ross? What month?
When did I get married?
September. Ooh. 18th.
Well, you're not in elk country, though.
Yeah, that's different.
If you were in elk country, like, nobody would have been there.
Yeah, we planned ours outside the Illinois season.
Exactly.
That was before I fell in love with hunting muleys out in South right. Dakota.
That makes sense.
Apparently, we got to get a more comfortable chair in the studio for Ross.
You got to free pass.
Oh, shit. I got to stand up and stretch again.
I'll have to do some upgrades for these studio chairs.
I need to
stop. Must be those Sitka pants.
I got a broke
Q-U,
seal.
Bro.
They're Q-U.
Jeez. You get whatever. Some Huntworth pants in this mofo.
Oh, right there.
Wait. Need to upgrade.
Need to upgrade.
Man.
Pants are stiff.
Pants are stiff. Yeah, you guys got to get out to the shoot next year, man. I think you guys really enjoy it.
We're gonna definitely be there.
It's no tack, but it's as challenging as we can get, and it might be.
It's no tack, but you're with your buddies.
You're with your buddies.
Better.
Oh yeah, and bring multiple arrows.
Bring extra arrows. Yeah. I was gonna say.
Yeah. Bring arrows you want to waste.
I was told that during tack.
Yeah, I heard you guys killed it at tack.
Went good. Austin, not so good this year, it sounds like.
Oh, really?
He's got diabetes, so he's, you know, you always got. He didn't bring his beetus bites.
A little weak in the knees. Huh?
He's got the beetus.
He needed a Sour Patch Kid or two.
That sounds like a handicap, though. He's just blaming that.
Oh, absolutely. I would.
Why wouldn't you?
I would.
If you don't got the Sour Patches?
He just, the first shot misses. That's the beetus.
My beetus is flaring up.
It's flaring up.
Holy shit.
I like how we're just shit on him the whole time this podcast.
He's not here.
Yeah, but if he was here, he'd be right with us.
Oh, yeah. He's such an awesome guy. Man, bless his heart.
I don't never met him.
Shout out to Austin and his beatus. You think you'll listen this deep in the episode?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe.
Hope you beat it, bro.
Hope <not. laughs> you beat it.
That was a pretty serious subject in Colorado. That's where we came up with the beetus bites.
Oh, man. I look over and I'm like, dang, you got gushers again?
Dude, if you want a guy to have the snacks when you're hunting, have a friend that has diabetes.
He's the guy.
You heard it here first.
Always have the snacks.
Just don't steal his snacks. Let him know.
He's got to share them.
Hey, you take my gushers, bro?
He's got a Mountain Dew and you just drink it? Ooh, sorry, pal. Oh,
sorry, buddy. Hope you got another one.
Oh, this is awkward.
Sorry, pal.
That was my bad.
Oops.
Oh, I didn't know you needed that.
I had a hankering.
I thought that was for me.
Hankering.
The sweet tooth couldn't help it. Sorry about your health.
Got lay off the sweets.
The good news is he's going to love this when he listens.
Oh, God.
I hope so.
Bless his heart.
Hey, he's a real MVP.
Oh, yeah.
This button needs to go away. We need to take this one off.
You've used that a few times.
Put a piece of tape over it so you can't push it.
I know. I can still push it through the tape, though. We'll figure these buttons out one of these days. I keep hitting that button over and over and over again. Actually, you know, I just let it play, and then I don't hit it again. And it just keeps going, so we'll have to figure that one out.
Yep.
I got one thing to say, though. This place you got, well done.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
Thank you. There's been a lot of hands in it, a lot of hard work put in by a lot of people to make this work.
Yeah, you guys crushed it big time.
This was fun. I'm glad we got to do an actual in-studio episode with you guys.
Finally. Mm-hmm.
In our new studio. I personally like the atmosphere. Like, in here, even though it's brighter, like, our other studio was really dark, I like bright. It's kind of, it doesn't make me, I feel like the other studio, after a while, I would get tired.
Right.
Because it's like,
yep.
You know what I mean? It's too cabin-y feeling. This is like, we're up and we're going.
Well, and like I always said, like, we've always had a studio, but it's always been Kurt's house.
It's
like,
always been in a room in my house.
Right. It was our studio, but it wasn't really a studio. Now we have an actual place that we can call a studio.
We have a building.
We have a building, yes.
But I will say, before, I was still grateful we had a place to make a studio.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, a lot of people don't even have a full room to dedicate as a studio, you know. It's just like a home office.
Oh, for sure.
Or like in a garage or a basement or whatever, which is still cool.
Yep. I felt like when we were doing this, we might have overkilled the lighting a little bit, but
I like this. I like the brightness.
I like the lighting.
Now, if we put it on a dimmer, I wouldn't be mad at it. We could put it on a dimmer, couldn't we?
Well, the reason I didn't was because the last time we put it on a dimmer, it caused a bunch of... Yeah, it caused a bunch of...
Yeah, but that was a shitty fixture. Light we had it on.
The shitty light fixture.
I've got dimmers we can play with.
But you know what we do? We have studio lights that we can dim, then shut these can lights off.
True that.
But I like the brightness of it.
Hell, we could stay here in the dark if we wanted to.
Holy shit, and fall asleep.
Yeah, I like this.
I need it bright.
Keeps you a little bit more lively because, you know, naturally when you're drinking some beers,
yeah,
dark.
Like, you fall asleep on podcast.
You guys like the vibe? Yeah. I don't know what it's like from over there.
You get done with the podcast, you got a bar right outside.
Ask Doug if he falls asleep on podcast. Green room.
I need better lighting.
The bar green room. It's kind of adopting the green room name.
It's the green room.
We don't have a name for the whole place, though, yet.
The buck room?
It's still developing.
It'll come.
It's brewing.
Oh, for sure. This is my biggest, like... Any of you ever watch a movie while drinking beer? Can you do that?
No.
Hell no.
I can't watch a goddamn movie without a beer.
I fall asleep on my wife's lap normally.
Exactly. Like, in college, there was a couple buddies who'd be like, yeah, come over, drink a beer, or watch a movie. I'm like, dude, I'll make it like 20 minutes in the movie. I'm fall sleeping. Asleep.
You know what's good about this studio now is like it's beautiful. The lighting's beautiful for cameras.
Exactly.
And
you're not going to fall asleep while podcasting because you got a little light.
It'd be tough to do, wouldn't it?
I mean,
it'd be hard to do.
Doug. I could see Doug do it.
I can do it.
Doug can do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dim light.
Bucky sleeps on command.
Hey, there he is. Look at him.
He's out.
Is he a clapper?
He's done.
You just got to tickle his mustache and he'll wake right up. Yeah.
Sorry, Greg.
Sorry, Greg.
It's dark out here.
We're best friends now. It's cool.
No, you're not.
Well, guys, I appreciate you guys coming all the way out to the studio. I think this episode's been a ton of fun. We covered a lot of stuff, a lot of bullshit, but a lot of, like, I think, you know, wholesome content.
We've had a few different subjects.
I like
it,
man.
We've been bouncing around, but it was fun.
That's what in-studio podcasts are about. You know, you guys are here. There's no hurry to get out. You just conversate, and that's my favorite thing about it. Yep. I don't know how listeners feel about it, but I love it.
That just means you guys have to come back more often.
Absolutely.
You
know?
Yeah.
Thanks for having us. Trade trucks more, Kurt.
One of you guys are next. I already got a truck.
Yeah, I can't afford a truck.
Three more trucks. Here we got.
I can't afford to pay attention. What are you talking about?
Doug? Got any Ford Rangers?
Oh, shit.
Doug, you're due for a trade on your truck.
I thought you were asleep.
aren't you?
Shit fuck.
You're due for a trade.
Shit fuck.
Yeah, I am.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
They'll be back next weekend.
We'll be back.
It's time.
Yep.
Hustle it out. Get another Laramie out here.
It's been fun, guys.
Yeah, hell, if you invite me out to hunt, maybe I'll just go pick it up there.
Where can people find you? Any shout outs, partnership shout outs, anything you got to give out? Do it now. This is your time.
Time to shine.
Yeah, just check us out, Facebook, Instagram. Most importantly, our YouTube channel. If you just search Buckstorm, it'll pop right up. At Buckstorm SD is kind of our Instagram, whatever the hell you want to call it.
It's a hashtag, Trav.
No. The whatever
your Instagram handle
there it is. Yeah. You know, that's like
the Big Ten,
that's
four.
South Dakota boys.
Is there a pause button and then like a restart?
Yeah, but anyhow.
You're doing good,
but all jokes aside, thanks a bunch for having us on. It was a good time. We put down a few beers, had some good talks. I mean, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's just like hunting trips, and really, that's what it's all about. But yeah, check us out if you want to book a hunt in South Dakota too. And yeah, you got anything to add?
If you want to buy a truck, message us.
Message you.
Buckstorm, Instagram, Facebook.
For the record, we don't actually sell trucks from Buckstorm, but we work
That's my real time job.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to support the passion.
Or hit us up and we'll get you in contact.
I got kids to feed, guys. I got kids to feed. Isn't this what this is about? I got kids.
Well, I do appreciate you guys' friendship. I appreciate you guys reaching out and helping us out with like some of these Western hunts, if you will, or Midwestern. Yeah. Hunts depends on what you.
However you want to look.
You guys are welcome to come out anytime.
Well, you guys need to come out to an Illinois hunt and come out to the studio
when
more often.
When you guys come out, we enjoy it just as much as you.
Nice thing is we got the studio. Ross has got a man cave. Chandler's got a giant man cave. We got plenty of Illinois over the counter archery buck tags that are available. They sell them every year. You guys come on out and
stay away from Iowa.
You guys need anything at all as
keep
far as
like
industry is concerned. And I want to get you guys out to the Iowa Classic and the Illinois Classic this year.
You got
to
make that.
Let's do it.
You guys have a riot.
Yeah. At least Iowa.
We'll bring the bunkhouse out.
Yeah,
and
yeah
gotta drive
bunkhouse.
Past Iowa to get party. To Illinois.
Bunkhouse.
Dude. Yeah, but Iowa's just better.
Well, I appreciate you. Is that it? We good?
I'm good.
We're good.
Thanks, guys.
You want to close her out with the go shoot your bow?
Talking to me?
Yeah.
Go shoot your bow.
Go shoot it twice.
You know what to do. Do it.
Boom.
You know what to do. Go shoot your bow.
Every day.
All of it.